This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Myself excited. It's a party now, and I'm the only one invited. Standing tall at full attention, gazing at my own reflection. Yeah, you know, without a doubt.
As much as I please. the gift that you gave me. Later on that night, watching the sunrise, reflecting in your eyes, and I think that we just might. Everything we missed the first time that we kissed, in the backseat of my car. Go out at midnight, my love at first sight. How I want it to be right. I wanna be the sun in your eyes. I wanna tell the truth for the first time. I wanna know that I make you high. I wanna be more than a face in your crowd. Never seem to care about the things that matter to me. Our ways will ring true, I try to tell you, but you never listen to me. All the time wasted, cause we never made it. This is all we couldn't see. Now that I'm older, I have my own shoulder to cry on if I need. I wanna be the sun in your eyes. I wanna tell the truth for the first time. I wanna know that I make you high. I wanna be more than a face in your crowd. I wanna shout it out loud. Oh, oh, oh.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. Welcome to the January 17th edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. And?
And I'm Wes, the other one.
Yes, the official After Hours intern. How's that?
Hey, works for me.
Okay.
So when's you going to wear the black dress?
Ooh.
I don't do dresses.
It was blue dress.
It was blue dress. I'm sorry. I thought it was a black dress.
No.
It was actually a blue one, yeah. But I don't do dresses.
No.
I do blue suits.
How about
scrubs? Do you do scrubs?
I could do some pink scrubs for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, those are easy access.
And besides, with this group, we're not going to let a stain happen. My God.
Oh, God. We never.
Sacrilegious.
If a stain happens, I mean, somebody's not doing their job right.
There you go.
Or someone's filming and you decided you had to do it like a star.
Is this Hot and Bothered or After Hours?
Both.
Oh, here, I'll say it. La, 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 la. Okay.
Yeah, he got something caught in his throat.
You too.
Hey, Lisa, how's it hanging, girl?
As I said, well, the one time you stepped out of there, imagine how I would be if it wasn't $7 a drink where I was tonight.
Yeah.
I'm only used to paying $7 a drink there and see real breasts.
Oh, I see. You would have had a whole lot more drinks. Okay. Because where were you tonight?
I attended Coronation 25 for the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, USA, so forth and so on.
Easy for you to say.
Bringing in record time.
Yes, actually. Well, they started early.
But still, I mean, they started at 7 and ended at 11:25.
Well, they didn't end.
They didn't end. That's when they announced the incoming monarchs.
Yes. And the whole idea is that the reigning monarchs step down, and right at the end of the program, the new monarchs are announced. Because nobody knows who they are until...
Yeah, and I left when... The last words I heard over the PA system is, "Will you please kneel?" Which is not usually the time when I leave the room.
That's about the time you enter. Yeah.
That's when I'm walking in.
This was a huge event, their 25th anniversary.
Yes.
The
lots of out-of-town guests and
the international
bigwigs.
Well, yeah, the international emperor or whatever... I'm not sure. I can't read there.
Nicole the Great was there.
Whichever, you know, whoever typed this up, you don't do all caps with that kind of a script font.
Oh.
But no, the Grand High Poobah of the international organization was...
Nicole the Great.
Nicole the Great? Okay. Was there.
Trust me on that.
Handed out some awards from the international board.
Wow.
Including special commendations to the Colt 45s and the crew of Olympus.
How very nice.
And two Lifetime Achievement Awards.
No kidding.
To Empress Jackie Thorne.
Jackie Evelyn Thorne.
And Emperor Jerry
Moran. Yes. Those two have been in the community for years and years and years.
And
they certainly deserve a Lifetime Achievement.
And Anise Parker was there, and she was also recognized by the International Court.
Wow.
Has she officially announced?
No.
Guess what?
What?
She
did tonight?
She came out of the closet tonight.
About what? When I am mayor? What?
There was talk like that.
Ooh.
The M word was dropped by her and by the International.
Well, it's a very open secret.
Yeah. So, yes. She's out. It's official. We can break the news here. Anise Parker came out of the closet tonight.
Ta-da!
She wants mayorship.
Gotcha. And we want her, too.
And so that was a very big thing. And should I just finally announce what it is?
I'm sitting here on pins and needles. How about the Empress
on that phony ass?
Yeah, well.
Well, I'll give everyone a little clue before I announce the official. Just let's put it this way. When we have them on, we're going to be up to our gills in royalty.
Oh.
The 25th Empress of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star is Marcia Mink Gill.
Uh-huh.
And the 25th Emperor is J.P. Gill.
I see.
O-H. Oh, wrong group. I'm trying to explain it to Jimmy. Like I said, I left right after they did their walk-in on that. And like I said, it was a very nice turnout, a very nice show.
Mm-hmm.
If one of the cute boys there from either the Alamo Empire is listening, hi, or one of the dancers from the Metropolitan Dance Group.
Can I have his number?
Say, Wes, he really worked that room, didn't he?
I want his number. I mean, if he's part of that group, I'm
there was a couple. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those, you know, it's an unusual thing. With the courts, it's more of a mature audience. So, you know, it's kind of hard
finding. Bunch of old queens?
Yeah, it's kind of hard finding, you know, the under 40 crowd.
Well, I know.
There was a couple under 30s there.
And a lot of big girls there, too.
Yeah, a lot of hair, a lot of glitter.
Big, huge pieces hair? Of jewelry.
Wait, yeah. And
oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were back on the hair thing.
It looked like, confetti cannon exploded on the trash can on some of their hair.
Oh.
There was one crown that someone came up and made the comment, said, it looks like she picked up her wastebasket and left her crown at home.
Ooh.
It was all bejeweled and such, but it had the appearance of the...
A large trash can.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, all the... It was interesting with the different courts seeing the costumery that they wore for their different how they represent in there. There was these two kabuki nuns.
What?
They had the white kabuki face.
Yeah.
Keep up with us.
With red.
Is this the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
No, these were, I don't know who they were.
Because they do that with the white face.
And they wore a red, a red,
red
dress.
Habit?
That wasn't really a habit. It was just red.
That's
outfit.
What you have.
Do
and
I
then
ever.
They, and they had the flying nun type headdress where it comes up into the curls.
Yeah.
And it had a white scarf over that. I don't think they were from there, but I mean the different groups.
My goodness.
That were coming up, and then you hear all the names of what they, you know, their titles and
and the taglines. They go on and on and on.
And it was interesting with all the different. I mean, they kind of broke up the visiting groups by region. You know, they went up the West Coast, and then you know Central, and then the most of the Texas groups performed numbers. In there, the San Antonio, the Dallas group, the aspirants to the candidacies, to the emperorship and emperors, they performed numbers as well. Yeah. It was really entertaining. You know, it's something I went to a couple of years ago, and this one moved a lot quicker getting through and that. And even with, you know, all the pomp and circumstance of the 25th.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Coronation.
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, congratulations to Marcia and JP. That's fabulous, and it's going to be a great year, fun year. Marcia's going to be working her tail off, and JP is going to be right there at her side with his little rubber ducky.
So, and we'll be having
make
them.
Sure that's a ducky.
Last time I looked.
Okay.
Well,
just
I didn't,
checking.
I didn't look too close, but...
You just know it's rubber.
Yeah, I know it. I do know that. Okay, what have we got tonight? We have Stage Door, Inc., right?
Yes, supposedly they're here.
Okay. And...
they'll be talking about their new show, Grease.
Justin Anderson will be here. We're going to be talking about some mental health issues. But for right now, we've got some announcements about things going on in the community. Let me... you started it out with Arisa's. Let me do a few things from ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire. January 28th. On Wednesday, they're socializing with the Monarchs as they serve up cocktails, and that will be at EJ's upstairs in the Martini Bar at 7 p.m., with the Midweek Madness show at 9 p.m. Then, Friday, January the 30th, Jim Crawford hosts a monthly camp contest. Now, this is something entirely new. It's the Snow Prince and Princess. This is happening, like I said, January 30th at 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. The Snow Prince and Princess will be selected from the many entertainers that night by judges situated secretively throughout the audience. The new prince and princess will be announced at the closing of the show, each receiving a sash and crown. For further information, contact James Crawford, Crawford4161 at yahoo.com.
What day was that?
January the 30th.
Oh, okay.
At 8 p.m. This is a fundraiser for the RAIN beneficiary, the PWA Holiday Charities, with 15% benefiting the Lexi Bowen Community Fund. Then, Saturday, the next night, Saturday, January 31st, Mark Cohen and Chanel Cartier bring you back from Africa at EJ's. This is a show that's usually done in December, but there was a whole lot of stuff going on. Chanel was in China, and Mark's trip was later than usual, so they're doing it now. Back from Africa, Saturday, January the 31st, 8 p.m. at EJ's. And that is a direct benefit for AIDS Foundation Houston Camp Hope. And then February 1st, the members of ICOH and friends will be doing the block cleanup. 12 noon, meet at Mary's on February the 1st, walk down and back, come celebrate Baron Young's birthday. 5th annual Night Under the Stars birthday show at Mary's Naturally at 5 p.m. Okay, and what have you got, Wes?
Well, Theater Suburbia presents a Houston premiere by Nancy Kiefer of Dryope and Ioli. Directed by Judy Reeves, our good old friend Judy.
Ta-da!
Yay, yay! Their show started this past Thursday. Tickets are $10.
Mm-hmm.
They're located at 4106 Way Out West Drive, which is off of West 43rd, one block from Hempstead Highway.
Mm-hmm.
You can call 832-722-5785. Or email curator at gcam.org.
That was for the fundraiser that they had Thursday.
Oh, was that the...
benefiting the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum.
Excellent.
But they're going to be running through next month, every Friday and Saturday, and a couple of Sunday matinees. Give them a call to find out when. And, of course, they always have the after-hour special. If you call and say that you heard it on After Hours, you can get two tickets for the price of one.
Ooh, so that's always nice.
That's a nice cheap date. And you get
I'm never cheap, thank you.
I know.
Always a diamond ring, flowers, and candy.
Yeah.
Then dinner.
Then maybe.
If you're lucky.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're one of those. Oh, well. So, what else you got?
Let's see here. Let's see here. Yeah, good evening all. Just a reminder of my first fundraiser as Mr. Leather Houston coming up in a couple of weeks. Mr. Chuck Renslow, founder and executive producer of International Mr. Leather, will be joining us and giving us a presentation about the history of BDSM and a historical perspective of how the IML event has helped shape the leather community on an international level. Please reply to... I don't see the email address.
Where? Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. Mr. Leather Houston 2008 at AOL.com to RSVP and ask about sponsorship opportunities.
Actually, that's Mr. Leather Houston without any vowels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But thank you, Jimmy.
Tickets. Okay, I'll just sit over here.
Yeah, you do that. It says Dinner in Black, a formal leather dinner with special guest Chuck Renslow. Again, founder and executive producer of International Mr. Leather, on Sunday, January 25th, 2009 at 6 p.m. One's a meal at 812 Westheimer. Tickets are $50, benefiting Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Opportunities.
Fund.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Well, my eyesight went on me.
Well, see what happens when you sit next to Jimmy for that long a time?
I know. My eyes just went on me. I need to borrow your glasses.
You you thought you were giving me an opportunity. Is that it?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway. No, I didn't think so. Okay, Chris.
What do you got over there?
One other thing I want to say about Eresus, I forgot about this. And it just suddenly hit me. One of the things that each one of the emperor and empresses do is they create a lasting title or honor.
Yes.
On that. Empress Kimberly O'Neill, as her legacy, I guess you could say, to Eresus, has established a scholarship fund.
Really?
For anyone in the GLBT community to be able to get a scholarship to go to college.
Fabulous.
There'll be more details on the information it takes to win that, to earn the scholarship, but it'll be one that's presented at each coronation, and monies will be raised throughout the year, plus private donations for that. And I remembered that because that was such an interesting thing to hear somebody do on that, and that definitely got a standing ovation from
I'll
the group.
Bet.
But I wanted to make sure I threw that one out.
That's definitely very interesting.
And
will definitely help out a lot of people that really
kidding.
Need it.
Are they going to be working through PFLAG or just...
No, it's going to be through Eresus.
Okay.
She rattled off some of the specifications, and part of it was the Eresus Judicial Board and the reigning monarchs, and Kimberly herself will be helping to decide who gets it. And,
okay.
Like I said, the various monies raised throughout the...
Cool.
The board. So that was something I wanted to definitely get out. That was something that...
Good for
very
Kimberly.
Impressive.
Good for
that'll
Kimberly.
Be good information for every year to pass out to everybody so they can so they can put in for it.
Yeah, October's is when they're going to be doing the thing part for that so that they can have it for coronation.
Okay.
comedians Vicky Shaw and Jenna McNulty are coming to Houston on Sunday.
Sunday.
January 25th, 7 p.m. at Chance's Bar.
Ooh.
A special DVD release show for Vicky's new DVD, You Can Take the Girl Out of Texas. Houston native and stand-up comedian Vicky Shaw has moved back to Houston and is teaming up with fellow comic Jeannie McNulty for a fantastic night of stand-up comedy and improv. You won't want to miss these funny women, both recently voted to the top 10 funniest lesbians in America. Each will perform stand-up separately and then play together during hysterical improvisational based on suggestions from the audience. Come and enjoy the show and celebrate Vicky's DVD release, You Can't Take the Girl Out of Texas. I haven't seen Jenny McNulty, or if I have, I don't remember.
I haven't either.
Vicky Shaw, you can see currently on Logo with first her special of You Can Take the Girl Out of Texas. And she is also a part of, if you'll see it on Tuesday nights usually, it's called Laughing Matters.
Yes.
And I think it's Laughing Matters 1, where they do the lesbian show.
Uh-huh.
And there's four lesbian comedians.
obviously not.
On.
Yes.
And there, Vicky Shaw's one. Elvira Kirk, Sabrina Matthews, I think, and the other one.
I don't know. It's, we have a man genuflecting in here. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, don't say that. We'll get suspended for 4 weeks again. Definition, genuflex. So it'll be a very interesting show to attend. Vicky Shaw is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's put it this way. I believe the people here in the studio know how I feel about lesbian comedians.
Yes.
And I like Vicky Shaw.
Wow.
So there.
So there.
She's one that can actually make me laugh.
Let's not go, let's not talk about the ones who don't.
We don't have enough time.
I know.
Uh-oh.
I can't afford to tell you how many.
Okay.
They will be at Chances Bar at 1100 West Timer Road on Sunday, January 25th at 7 p.m. Tickets are... I can't tell you how much the tickets are.
No, because that's it's not a fundraiser.
Yeah. But you can get them at Chances.
Mm-hmm. Or Brown Bag Tickets.
Brownpapertickets.com.
Brown Paper Tickets. Okay.
The Gay Old Opry, BRB style, celebrating traditional and classical country music, will be hosted by Aaron Patterson, candidate for Mr. BRB 2009, on Friday, January 30th, from 9 to 11 at the Brazos River Bottom, right across from the Bunny Liquor Store.
Oh. So far, we've got Aaron Patterson running for Mr. BRB that we know of, and Stephen Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Running for Mr. BRB. So, wow. Two people who do a lot in the community. That's going to be tough. And we don't know who else may be running. One more thing. The Coming Out Support Group begins January 28th over at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Brainerd. As a new year begins, many people take this opportunity to set goals for themselves in the coming months. If one of yours is to become more open about who you are, please consider joining the Coming Out Support Group, which begins on Wednesday, January the 28th.
He has a hard enough time concentrating without that.
Oh, my. Oh, my. A handsome man is here. Yes.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
All right.
Okay, let's... Are we ready for stage door?
Yeah, but I'll put on some music, too.
Okay.
Put on a little bit of interlude.
And Justin is here. So.
So
it's always nice when Justin's here.
Oh, it is.
Considering they're...
It's even better when he's out.
What part of him? Chris left that one open for me today.
Not on this radio station anymore. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No, we don't do that. But we do what we are doing this week and for the next and next week. Is that we are raising money for KPFT.
Yeah, we just about forgot about that.
Yes.
It is Pledge Drive.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned it.
You just did.
Yeah.
We need you to call in your pledge of support to 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Please. Unlike last week, we would like the phones to ring with someone not telling us that we're boring and is stupid.
Yes.
That would be helpful.
Would be helpful.
And if that person's out there listening... I didn't get your email. I threw down a challenge.
Okay.
And he didn't accept it.
713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT.
This show has been on the air for over 21 years,
woo-hoo,
bringing you the 3 hours of queer life every week. Of course, the queer life today is a lot different than queer life was 21 years ago when the message was, come out of the closet. Today it's
leave the door on the closet.
Yes, just open the door. You don't have to rip them up, rip
Jimmy's
it off the
been
hinges
here the
anymore.
Whole time.
I have been here the whole time. Yes, I have
at the closet door,
except for
or
the
here?
First six months. Yes. So, oh, why? Thank you.
So we need you to call in your sports.
Man just brought me coffee. Yes, we need to. Over the years, this show has produced money for the station, and you can't rest on your laurels because you've made a lot of money in the past. Does it mean that you get a free ride? No, we have to keep doing that. We have to keep bringing the money in to let this station know that we are a viable show and that we should stay on the air.
And that's where you come in.
Yes.
Whether you think that what we put on sometimes is drivel or boring, or if you think that we're informative and entertaining and unusual, let management know that we are a active part of this community. We are the community of this community.
Yes.
The station is sitting in the throbbing heart of the Montrose.
Ooh, does it throb?
And, you know, we don't give you that sanitized for your protection version you hear over there on Clear Channel.
That's right.
Actually, I don't know. Are they still
that's gay light over there.
Yeah, that's Will and Grace.
Yeah.
We're queer as folk.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to spread it open and stick it in and let you know what this community is about.
Oh. Is it throbbing?
So, 713-526-5738.
Oh.
713-JAM-KPFT. Or if you're on the internet listening to us, or you're watching some other type of programming on the internet, click over to kpft.org. You can place your pledge of support for our show safely and securely on that website. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you mark on there that it's for us.
But we have lovely personnel, After Hours cast members, sitting by waiting for you to call and talk to them. These are the folks you hear on Roundtable every week, and you will get to talk to them. Just give us a call, 713-526-5738, for that pledge of support. Now let's play some music and get Stage Door in, and then Justin is here.
We'll be right back.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do girls sing so gay? And lovers await the break of day. Why do they fall in love? Fools fall in love. Why does the rain fall from above? Why do fools fall in love? Why do they fall in love?
Fools fall in love.
Why does my heart skip a crazy beat? For I know it was meant to be. Tell them why.
Yes, who was that?
Good question. What did you put on, Chris?
Flirtations. Wow, that is music from the very beginning of After Hours. That is music that Buddy Johnston, who was the originator of the show, really loved and played to death.
Yeah, I picked it because I'm kind of doo-wop-ish with, since we're going to be with the group we're talking with Stage Door here.
Yes.
And, you know, we didn't talk about the music we started the show with.
No, that's right, we didn't.
Okay. We started the show off with Naked.
Oh, yeah.
How Come You Don't Love Me? These guys. Naked.
Oh,
Naked.
I'm sorry.
Are we doing Naked Radio tonight?
Well, it started out that way.
After. Oh.
And I wonder if everybody else knew.
After that was Jay Arsenault.
Oh, yeah.
Face in the Crowd. Yeah. Face in Your Crowd, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
That's a really good CD, by the way.
And, really?
Chris and I listened to that. What was it?
A couple weeks ago.
About 2-3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. We listened to it. And lots of great music on there.
Really?
When's
it coming out?
His new CD. This is his first CD. His second CD is going to be coming out end of February, beginning of March.
Is he going to send us a copy?
We're going to have him in studio.
Excellent. Bring him on.
Yeah, if you check out some of the local events going on, you may have a chance of running into him.
Yes, because he's lending his voice to fundraising activities throughout the gay community.
Yeah, in fact, he was at the event I hosted last mm-hmm. week, which I'm also stalling for time. It's about to get the rest of the crew in there.
Okay.
I got the final totals from what happened last
week. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I wanted to hear that because...
he digs it out of his
pocket. Wanted, like, dollars and poundage of food to equal your weight, and we know that you got $700 in cash.
Well, $700 for the two organizations.
Yes.
$459 of that was for the food pantry.
Yeah.
We raised 361 pounds worth of cans, boxes, and water.
Wow.
Nice.
Right there, that's almost your weight.
13 pounds of toiletries.
Oh, more.
Some people went and donated, you know, soap.
Yeah.
And, you know, shampoos and razors.
Yeah.
And, you know, shaving cream, sorts of stuff for that.
Uh-huh.
So, and then add in the $459, and I did the easiest conversion rate of dollars equal pounds.
Of course.
So that means for Resurrection MCC's food pantry, we raised 833 pounds.
Wow.
That is 211% of goal.
Nice.
Work that out. I love it. And then the other money was for the Louis food.
Louis food. So I announced to people that that means we'll definitely be having brownies.
On that note, I'd like to say congratulations to the whole community for that one. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and
it took the whole community.
Yeah, and
there's about a dozen different groups represented there that night.
We could have had a Louis meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We had the board membership, we had board quorum, and we had club quorum.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Now, also the weight figure on that is in a way a little low.
Uh-huh.
Because I just read the weight that was on the label.
Oh.
So if it's, you know.
So you didn't weigh the key.
I didn't weigh it. So that's
lowballing it.
That's minus, you know, it all will average out because it's minus the weight of the aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I picked up a 14-ounce can, I said, this is a pound.
Mm.
So it's.
Okay.
It all comes out in the wash that we had about all that. And I am impressed that we did that, and I am looking forward to the next go round.
Good.
As more of the troop comes in.
Let's see if we can be as successful next time around.
Well, we better be, because...
look at all the hot men coming in.
Yeah, that last one was real cute. Where'd he go? Come back here.
So, especially considering what I'm planning for the next fundraiser, but I can't announce any of that stuff until, first of all, I get permission to do that. And also, I'm going to be waiting till I find out what the court schedules are going to be.
Yes.
And see about, you know, finding a time in there that we can't.
Okay.
So, now that I stalled long enough.
Do we have the full crew in there now?
Yes. Hold on. There we go.
Check.
Your mics are all live in there.
The rest of us are still coming. They're running from outside right now.
Hello. So be careful, it's slippery in there. Not in there, it's slippery out there.
Slippery on what?
Mm-hmm. Yep, here comes more. Oh, here.
And then these are yours and Jimmy's.
Oh. Thank you.
I'm a sponsor.
Reese.
Oh, damn.
I put $25.
Well, then I
Zach is
coming.
Zach is coming.
Zach just parked.
You can go ahead and go.
So, I think I'm going to do is if we give you a mark, I may use these as a We're having a fun drive right now. Do you mind if I use it for...
That's fine.
All right.
It's on the board for you to get rid of, and then the two cards are for you and Jimmy to come and experience the rest of the season.
Oh, thank you. We have in studio now from Stage Door, Inc., down in Pasadena. This is a good portion, I guess, of the crew from...
Here comes one more.
Greece.
That's it. That's the last one.
All right.
Yay. All right.
Let me see if I can get these mics going a little louder.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, everyone. Come, let's see. I think I'm getting this.
You got it.
Who's going to speak first?
I guess I will, since I'm the marketing manager.
Yay!
Zach.
I guess you want me to introduce everybody first?
Sure.
Okay. My name is Zach Varela, and I am currently the musical director of Grease. And next to me is Miss Danny Knight, and she plays Jan in our production. Next is Misty Banks. And she plays Marty. Next is Renee Van
Nifter.
Thank you. I told you I'd forget.
I know.
And she plays our lovely Rizzo.
Hey.
Next to her is Kim Spears, and she plays the nurse. You need to bend over, or Pat McGroin.
Wow.
She's anytime. Part of our chorus. Next to her is Arturo
Soriano.
Soriano, thank you. He is our Danny Zuko.
Yeah.
We also have Jose, who's part of the crew.
Hello.
Brian Burley, who is our...
Sunny.
Sunny, thank you.
Dang, come on, man.
We have Kieran Rush, who is our stage manager.
Yeah. Yay!
Whoa.
Dario Faila, who is our technical director.
Yeah. Yay!
And finally, but never least, Mark Glover, who is our executive director of Stage Door, Inc.
All right, Mark.
Yay.
That's it.
That's everybody?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Normally, we try and keep it a little bit cooler in here, but I think, you know, the thermostat's locked up on the weekends. So since it was cold during the week, they turned on the heat and left it on, and it's been worse in here than it is today.
Well, of course, it doesn't help there's a bunch of cute guys in there either.
It may be.
But, me.
So, we're talking about Grease. Everyone knows the movie. How different is the play than the movie? Just the basic thing. What's...
Well,
I think the
who's the Scientologist in here who's going to be the bad boy? Oh.
I think the show focuses more on other characters. Like Rizzo has a big part. Janet and Marty have a big part. Roger has a big part.
Yeah.
And like in the movie, it just focuses on Danny and Sandy's relationship. So I think that's one of the big things. It adds a lot. There's a lot more characters, and it shows through the production.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot more relationships.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And problems.
Yeah.
Now, once again, we're talking with Stage Door, Inc., which we always say it's a little strange thing. It's the Pasadena Theater that's in the mall.
That's right.
And I love telling people that, you know, I'm going to the theater and I'm going to the mall because it's different type experience. And we've had you all in here since you did the Laramie project. And I see a lot of new faces that I haven't seen at the past two productions. So tell me, what brings you into a community theater? Who wants to jump in on that?
I know me personally, one of the things that for me was just, you know, I started theater whenever I was in, you know, just junior high, and then I, you know, grow up, got out of high school. I was a theater major in college, and then I kind of changed to, you know, like a different side, more of a communication major.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd learned more of, like, you know, the video editing aspect of it, or the Photoshop, or the web design, just more of a promotions kind of side of it all. And then I just found a way to just come back to it, because me and Mark went to college together, and it was just kind of like just another way for me to still do it, but, you know, I also have a career on the side. And it works really well. It's flexible, my schedule. And I get to have fun. I get to do what I love, so.
Well, I guess for me, I'm a new to this. I mean, this has been a year since I actually have been performing. So yeah, this is I wanted experience, you know, and my friend Samantha told me about this, and I wanted to try out for it, and I'm here. And you now see me as a Danny Zuko. There you go. And it's just a great experience. I met a lot of new people, and they're all cool. And
it's kind of like when you get in community theater, you're kind of stuck. Like, you go to other theaters, but the one you like originated with, you just stuck. Yeah,
they don't let you go.
Yeah, they shackle you to it. They blackmail you.
Is there anyone here that's their first time with Stage Door?
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, this is me. Yeah, and Link.
Link, yes.
Well, what brought me to community theater? I mean, I've done community theater before, but I stopped for a while. I was working and taking classes and everything. And I finally just made up my mind that I was looking for a theater home. I love ensemble. I love being a part of a theater group. And so I just said, hey, I'm just going to go check them out, see what it's like. And, I mean, I met some really cool people, and I like it. I'm going to be here whether Mark likes it or not.
You're just saying that because we're around.
So, yeah.
I mean, like I said, one of the things that I find interesting with Stage Door is that it's a very intimate feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's what, 60 seats?
We've bumped it up to 90.
You're up to 90 now?
Yep. We're filling that place.
90.
Yeah, I heard that. With Steezy, I have to sit on someone's lap if I showed up here late for that reservation.
We've actually extended the front row. We've added just a row of takeaway chairs.
Get a little closer to Mike. This is Mark.
We've added a row of takeaway chairs and have increased the seating to 90. And then the cast, you're talking about In Your Face, they actually entered the audience multiple times and dance right beside the audience, sometimes across them.
Every once in a while, I give out a lap dance.
You know, I do remember there was the two lap dances in your Christmas special. So apparently,
wow, I missed that.
So apparently we've got three here in this one.
Early Christmas gift, Chris.
Eugene, who else goes into the audience like that?
Well, Samantha and Enrique.
Almost the entire chorus goes into the audience at some point. Yeah. And then you have Frenchie and Duty, who usually fall into the first row because they're drunk at prom. But
that's the thing you get with, you know, with community theater. It's more intimate. It's a small space, but you really are interactive in part with it. And I've been down there for two performances, your old home and your new home. And it's a sight to see, you know, in something like that of, you know, it, especially since it's not like you're elevated up above of the audience, mm-hmm. you know, like how your standard, you know, like a high school auditorium setup is.
Right.
You're on level with them so that you can have that interaction and have coming out into it. Now, is the play also a musical, or is it just...
Oh, it's musical.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
very
musical. Yes.
Singing and dancing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how far off from the part there, so... Was anyone scared of having to sing?
I am. I still do. I have wet dreams of me being terrified of Sandy.
Oh, and our choreographer.
Are you going to make that comment, or shall I?
If I don't say her name, is awesome, and everybody was like afraid of her choreography, and I'm kind of afraid of it too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she helped
us through everything.
So she's in Cozumel on vacation.
You're right. AJ West. Okay, got it in. AJ.
I think one of the unique things about the stage version is that it gives each character, like they were saying before, it gives each character the chance to shine, because almost every character except for Frenchie and Sonny have a solo song that they sing. So you kind of get to see their personal, unlike the film where you're only focusing on Danny.
Yeah. Yes, Danny. You got, then, you know, anytime you have the major reaction is, you know, them singing about that. I mean, Frenchie in the movie, you know, has the one part with the beauty school dropouts.
Right.
And that's still on the stage version. Eloise Jackson is our teen angel, and so it's
awesome.
A whole...
Yes,
I kind of mixed up the cast. Obviously, my Rizzo is an African-American, and my teen angel is also an African-American woman.
You couldn't
so
tell.
It's not...
And from the little bit I heard her singing in your Christmas special, that's what I'm looking forward to.
She rocks. She's going to drop out.
I mean, her voice and just the little bits she sang in
Christmas Bells
was just, it floored me.
Oh, I have goosebumps just thinking about it.
And so just imagine, good. And when you told me that she was going to be playing the Teen Angel one, and I told people, I said, you know, the Frankie Avalon character is going to be played by a black woman. And they're like, they're going, huh? And I go, I've heard her sing some. It's going to be good.
I got the same reaction whenever I told people that my Rizzo was black, because Stockard Channing kind of held that role of the idealistic Rizzo, and then here comes Miss Thang over here, and she kind of blows out completely out of the water.
I listen to her. I make sure every night I listen to her song, because she...
I cry every night.
Me too. I get
She's just that good, you know?
Well, another part you have to look at is the fact you're talking about a play that's set in the 50s, so you didn't have that integration.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have had that opportunity that in the real world of having an African American.
The way I looked at that when I cast it was that the Pink Ladies and the T-Birds are the outcasts of the school. They are the lowest of the low. So if there was going to be a black kid, being one or two or however many were in school, they would have hung out with the Pink Ladies or with the T-Birds because they were the outcasts. So when going in to cast it, and I had Renee. I had Renee come in, and at first I was like, I don't have a Rizzo. And then I kept looking at Renee, and then I got her to read, and then for her to sing the part, and I was sold. Done. Mm-hmm. We cover that by, if she were the only black student in school, this is the kind of group of girls that she would have hung out with, and the fact that she's the leader of this group says a whole, it's a whole another political statement.
Yeah. Which is an interesting
she's
way
awesome.
Of looking at this.
Yeah,
because, yeah, I mean, like I said, when you're going into something, I mean, the movie Grease is such iconic status on that, and then to go in and see a different interpretation of that, and, you know, and like I said, I mean, Stockard Channing is a standout in that performance with that. I mean, it's a different way of looking at it, seeing the different scene.
He touched the mic, it scared him.
No. I'm sorry, I thought I broke it.
Come on. Well, you know, I mean, I could go into the normal kind of mode and comments we would make on that, of saying if you want to smack our mics around, go right ahead.
I think you made him blush.
It's not hard to make that one blush.
No.
Apparently I'm the innocent one in the group.
Let's see how well we can make him blush.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm already like halfway here. I'm like sweating.
That's not halfway. Not on this show. That's not halfway.
See, you have to understand, the tagline for this show is Queer Radio with Attitude.
Oh.
And,
wow, I had no idea.
So we
why didn't you tell me this before, guys?
Surprise!
What, you brought a straight kid here?
There's actually a handful. Really? I think me and Dario and this one here are the only three gay ones in the room.
That we know.
There's a couple other that are suspected, but...
I'm not
all right, speak up.
Quote, unquote.
Well, you know,
unofficially.
We love a challenge.
Quote.
Here, I'll help root them out.
Oh, God.
Link, run.
No. I'm looking for a wall. There's nowhere for me to go.
You're stuck.
Does the term running a gauntlet mean anything?
And I'm not that easy to get through at the door.
Oh, man.
Would you put your belt back on? We're not.
What? No. No, please don't.
Whoa. I'm moving out of the way.
Jose and Zach are first. They're closer to the door.
You caused us 4 weeks vacation. You
didn't.
You're banned from the studio.
No, it was you and G.
I'm sorry, you're getting the official Jackie finger.
Wow.
we're having fun here with the Stage Door Inc. cast of Grease. Let's talk once again where this is at. But first of all, I have to do this little thing at the top of the hour to make this legal and legit. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And he did that in one breath.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 Awesome.
And as I usually say, with breath control like that, I don't know how I'm still single.
It's your technique, darling. It's your technique.
Oh, wow.
That was great.
Chris. Yeah.
Work on the technique, Chris.
Wow. Is that a coach shot right there?
I don't get complaints.
And the awkward silence sets in.
This show specializes in awkward silence.
Sweet.
So,
we recovered nicely, though.
Where in Pasadena, because the directions to this is what I love.
And what's sad is I was actually down there today.
Directions, you want to take that?
Directions, probably not, because I can't find my way around.
Easiest way from the Montrose area would be to go 45 south, take 610 around to 225, and then 225 to Pasadena Boulevard. Pasadena Boulevard, you would exit, make a right on Pasadena Boulevard, go down. The mall is on your left, about half a mile down.
So you're going to Pasadena Town Square Mall.
Correct.
And you now aim for Macy's.
Yes. You park in between Macy's and Sears and enter entrance B, which is right between Anna's Linens and Macy's. And then we're located right...
I'm not making fun of you. I tell it is so hilarious when I tell people, yeah, first of all, when they laugh, I say, I'm going to Pasadena to go to the theater. And they're like, you're going where to go to the theater? And then I tell them, yeah, it's in the mall. And it's, like I said, it's a nice little setting. You come in the door, kind of hang a left and move around there. They're across from the soft pretzel place.
Yes.
Awesome.
He noticed the soft pretzel
place.
They've
actually started staying open late because they know that we have shows going on, so that at intermission the audiences can come out and go across the common area, I guess, to shop at their place.
And yes, the fat guy noticed the soft pretzel place. I'm fat and I'm from the Philadelphia area. I noticed where a soft pretzel is.
And he bought one, too.
Oh,
let me introduce you to my friend Mr. Click.
There we go.
So, okay, Pasadena Town Square. What are the performances that are coming up? And you can even talk about ticket price because you are 501c3.
Correct.
Ticket prices are $15 for general admission. We do offer student and senior discounts, $10 for students and $12 for seniors, and we do offer group rates. We are now taking reservations now. It's a new policy we have at our theater, so you can also make reservations or buy tickets online at www.stagedoorinc.com.
And Grease is performing...
Our last performance is February 1st.
So it's Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays until February 1st. We have tomorrow and then two more complete weekends.
And so you have enough time to watch us.
Yeah.
Fridays and Saturdays at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 3.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So what is next for Stage Door after Grease?
Oh, boy.
This is going
to
be fun.
For those who have visited the website to see, the next show was supposed to be Nonsense. But due to things out of our control, we have canceled Nonsense until a later season and replaced it with Same Time Next Year, which some people may know the film was with Alan Alden and...
Alda. Just saying.
And Ellen Burns, I think. Ellen Burns was the opposite. It's basically a story about two people who meet at the same time every year and have an affair. And the span of this affair is 25 years. Actually, that cast, there's two, is in this room. Zach is going to be playing the part of George.
That's me.
Yeah. And Kim will actually be playing the part of Doris.
Another black Italian.
They're so rare nowadays.
Here we go with the next statement. It's the 50s, and we have an African-American woman and a Hispanic man having a 25-year-long affair.
25-year-old
booty
call.
That's
right. Yeah, they did it back then.
Undercover.
The disappointing part is with my other group there, I already had the habit I was going to be wearing to Nonsense.
Aww. Well, you can wear it the same time next year.
I'll sit there, give a menacing look there, Curry Yarcy, go, no.
We were sad to have to cut the show, but again, we're just postponing it into a later season. I'm hoping that in the O-10 season, we'll find the right slot to put it in.
O-10.
It is O-10. It's 2 O-10.
O-10. Wow. I said it the other day myself.
Nuncrackers. So.
Yeah, Nuncrackers is definitely still going to close out the season. But we just had things out of our control. We got rid of Nonsense to cancel it into a later portion of another season and replace it with Same Time Next Year, followed by the household favorite, Sorted Lives. That's what we're all anticipating now.
Yeah, I'm just going to warn you now, reinforce your seats for Sorted Lives, because there's a group that's planning on coming down to see that.
We're ready. I've got people sending me emails constantly about the part of Brother Boy, so... Drag queens are coming in droves. No pun intended. So.
They're falling out of the windows to be a part of it. And thanks to the board from Stage Door Inc., we've got 2 tickets to Greece if you want to go there. Let's do it for... $50 pledge on plastic, I think, is our standard one for that. We've got 2 tickets to Greece down at Stage Door Inc. Call in at 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM-KPFT. And we will have these tickets sent out to you. So you can head down to pass a get on down, Dina. Go to the theater. Who knows? You may even run into Jimmy or I on one of those nights. Because I still got to get down there and watch Greece.
Hell, maybe I'll go down there, too.
Once again, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sundays.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday is 8 p.m. Sunday's 3.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And stagedoorinc.com.
Correct.
Yep.
They are 501c3. They're also looking for your funds if you want to sponsor a chair.
Sponsoring a chair. We also have made the final arrangements for our fundraiser, which is the Second Chance Prom. For those who didn't enjoy prom,
yeah, some people need
prom
them.
Or want to relive prom.
Yeah, I need that.
We are having a Second Chance Prom. We're actually holding that at the Aquarium in Kima on March 21st. Mm-hmm. Tickets for that are $50, and it's all goes to the theater. All the funds raised are going to the theater. Several of the people in the room are running for the King and Queen of Prom, and that's their own personal fundraisers and things like that. So,
well,
they won't let me run for Queen, I asked.
I'm running for Prince.
So just... I'm pretty sure someone will send me information on that.
Yes.
One of millions of ways. Thank you all for coming in, Stage Door. Look
Thank
forward
you.
To seeing
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
We're going to play a little Scissor Sisters and come in with Justin. And once again, you are listening to After Hours.
I left my heart in San Francisco. Cause it's a motherfucking disco. The people there were dancing on it. They dancing to the Mepatronic. Yeah, the music is a victim. And so am I. Loving and a cheese in the street. Going by it. I'll beg and a scream and a cuss and a cry. Music is a victim. And so am I. Fast fun. Money's all gone. Need some love, it's on the phone, but they got none. Daddy ain't home from the dog run, and he's riding through the city with a shotgun. I left my bag in Pasadena, where all them girls are doing Dina. The picture show is going to fall. Am I your best bun? Money's all gone, but you need some
man in Houston, Texas, just before he finished breakfast. He said, oh baby, fry some more eggs. But I was running on my own two legs. Well, if Jesus had the power to substitute,
and that was Scissor Sisters. Which one did you do, Chris?
I don't know what the hell I played because I hit the wrong damn button.
It's all your fault.
Jeez.
And did we get Jimmy in here, too? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, they finished up in time. What the hell did I play?
I don't know.
I had something about the word Pasadena in it, so...
Which was a lucky break on that one. Considering that's not what you wanted, right?
Whoa! Is that the one I played?
Which one was it?
In the Blair Witch Project in the corner, I think.
Did I play music as the victim?
Probably.
Oh, you're down in there. Are you finally finished?
Hello.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
And Justin.
Hello.
Is Justin's mic on?
Yeah, their all mics are on.
Oh.
Yeah, that was. I played music as the victim. Which was a happy coincidence because it said the word Pasadena in it.
Which was fortunate for the end of that segment.
Yes.
And it also says Houston, Texas.
Yes, it did. I heard that too.
By whom?
Scissor Sisters.
Cool.
Apparently we have not had a taker yet on our premium we have.
Ooh.
For here. So I don't know if you were indisposed at the time to hear the announcement.
Jimmy's always indisposed.
No, the speaker didn't reach into that room. Oh, now his mouth is closed.
And
that's a first.
And that would be...
We have two tickets to Stage Door Inc.'s production of Grease.
No kidding.
We're going to do that for the $50 plastic, on $50 on plastic. Uh-huh. You call 713-526-5738. 713-JMKPFT. Call in and pop our cherry because I don't think anyone's called in yet tonight.
No kidding. They can call in, put $50 on plastic, be the first, and get two tickets to Stage Door. That's a good crew.
Cute
I'm
crew.
I'm telling you.
A very cute
crew. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, I had to get out of the room or I would have been. I would have got myself in trouble.
And mainly straight. Oh, I got turned.
Oh, yeah, well. That never stopped me.
Never stopped
me.
Or bothered
stopped
me.
Stopped you from what?
I mean, my God. You.
Can we get some clarification here?
I mean, even...
I'm already married. I don't need that. Just somebody to play with.
Even Steven from Hot and Bothered is getting more and more comfortable around us.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, fortunately for me, his girlfriend turned her back to us when he... Because they play a lot of music off the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And so to plug it in, they have to plug it in behind the music.
Oh,
the music
that's station. So dangerous.
And so he had to
go
wait till we put
you.
On the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to go reach behind and unplug it.
Uh-huh.
And so I at least moved back in my chair so that he could have easier access to it.
No comment.
And vice versa.
And apparently his girlfriend knew enough to turn around and look the other way.
Oh, that was sweet of her.
Oh, yes.
Actually, that's Lisa's younger daughter.
No. That was her younger daughter was in there.
Oh.
His girlfriend was sitting in here.
Oh, that was his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He makes sure that we know that.
So like that's going to stop any of us.
So what's this beard's name?
I didn't know any. We'll bring Stephen over to the dark side.
Yeah,
we have cookies.
Oh my! That number is 713-526-5738. So you can hear more of this madness for 21 more years.
Woohoo! Yeah. Or at least get tips for how to do it in your own office.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
And once again, $50 on plastic, you get tickets to Stage Door Inc.'s production of Grease.
That is so cool.
We've also got t-shirts at various levels, mugs, all the KPFT accoutrement.
Because let me tell you, just because Stage Door is in Pasadena doesn't mean that you're getting second-rate talent. The folks there are really, really good. That production of Laramie Project was the best I have ever seen. It was gut-wrenching.
And that's, you know, that's part of the reason why they were on here is, you know, I went down and saw that.
Yes.
and dragged as much of them down here to the show as I could.
So that is a gem in the cap of theater groups in the city.
And once again, you know, they are 501c3. Mm-hmm. It's community-based. And, you know, it's something to check out.
You bet. You bet. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, their theater is in a mall. So if you have lived in the Montrose all your life and you're scared of leaving, especially to go to Pasadena, it's just kind of a safe.
If Jimmy Carper could find the theater.
On my own. On my own, thank you very much.
Did you have to use MapQuest to get there?
Yes, I did.
I thought so.
But did I get lost? Yes, I did.
Did you get out and ask for directions?
No, I did not. Actually, no, I did. I did, actually.
How did I know?
I
stopped at a convenience store, and I didn't even take out my earrings or anything. No.
And I'll,
were you wearing a pink shirt?
Of course.
I got a little lost. I got to the mall easy enough. Mm-hmm. I had trouble finding the entrance at the old location.
Oh,
I had asked the one of the security guards, but you know it's an, like I said, we said it's an interesting little theater. It's very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, you know, apparently some of the performers are, it's, they've added a row, so now some of the performers are spilling out into the audience.
Ooh.
So,
I know one of them that I wouldn't mind spilling out.
Only one.
And like I teased the fact, you know, Christmas Bells, there was two lap dances, and apparently with Grease, there will be several more.
Oh. Well.
So it's like we need to get front
Jimmy row. Says he wants front row seats.
I do indeed. I do indeed.
Or maybe he wants back row seats.
No, depends those, on how you look at
that's
it.
That's when I go to those other theaters.
But enough about the French Quarter.
Yeah. I'm Jimmy Carper, and tonight we've got Justin Anderson here. And Justin has done a segment before,
mm-hmm.
And what we'd like to do at After Hours, at least have one segment a quarter, to talk about mental health, because it's a subject that I think our community needs and needs to understand, especially in light of things like when you hear about teenage suicide, mm-hmm. The percentage of GLBT teens who commit suicide is twice that of the national average. Not because, how do I put this? Because we have traditionally met in bars, there's a higher number of GLBT people with alcohol abuse problems. Because we meet a lot...
Generally more of lesbians than
really?
Females.
Yes. Really? Mm-hmm.
Usually you'll see more lesbians with alcoholism than gay males.
Okay. And because we congregate in a lot of dance clubs, there's a lot of problems with drug abuse.
Yeah. You usually see more drug abuse more common with, you know, gay mm-hmm. male population.
Because we have been brought up...
But actually, I'd like to jump in here.
Gigi is here because he's going to be doing a segment later, and because he has worked in the field of mental health.
Yes. And I think it's also important to stipulate that the gay life, GLBT lifestyle, has a lot higher stress.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I was getting to that.
Oh, okay.
I was getting to that because we were brought... We were taught that, that being gay is wrong. We are taught that it's sinful. We are taught it's the most horrible thing that can happen to you. And so we have not only guilt, shame, we have internalized homophobia out the wazoo. And these are things that need to be addressed if we as a community are going to be mentally healthy. And what I'd like to do, because there's a great misconception, I think, out there about therapy, in that it in itself is shameful, that because someone goes to therapy, it's because they can't handle their problems on their own. There's a lot of confusion about therapy with psychologists and therapy with psychiatrists, and the difference between the two. And what I'd like to do is kind of a therapy 101 and just kind of talk very plainly and openly and honestly about what therapy is, why we shouldn't be ashamed of it or afraid of it, and why we should seek it out. So
that works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to that end, Justin, I'd like to ask you, first of all, what your credentials are.
I'm an MA, which is a Master's of Arts in Professional Counseling. And I have my LPCI, which is a Licensed Professional Counselor Intern. Consider it the apprentice level of being a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas.
Okay. And so,
So I have my degree and I have the training. I'm just basically getting through what's the equivalent of like an internship for for a doctor or for...
Okay. So you have to do a certain amount of internship?
I have to do a certain number of therapy hours.
Okay.
To finish off my licensure.
And then what will you be when you grow up?
And then I'll be a full LPC.
Okay. Which is a licensed...
Licensed professional counselor for the state of Texas.
Okay. Gigi, in your background...
Yeah, I have a master's in social work, and I had 15 years' experience as a social worker, licensed social worker in the state of Texas.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of work with elderly, with mental health, and with rehab.
Okay.
And these are different branches of mental health.
Okay.
And rehab basically is working with people with either mental or physical disabilities that interfered with their ability to work. And crisis counseling, I worked in a mobile crisis unit for, many, many years, and where the turnover was usually 6 months.
Right. Oh, understand that. Wow.
I became the senior counselor after 4 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's high-paced work.
I understand.
But I did a lot of studying on GLBT issues and on just a lot on mental health on a pro side. Things you can do to create better mental health.
Justin,
which is kind of a different direction from a lot of counselors, because a lot of counselors go in to fix the problem, whereas I'd go in a lot of times to say, here's ways to prepare yourself so you don't have problems. So it's kind of a different direction.
Yeah, I see that. Justin, why did you go into this field?
Well, if you look at my family history, most of them are pretty, you know,
screwed up.
it's the DSM field day kind of thing. You know, it's, you know, I've got, you know, my dad's family especially, it's the, you know, he's the baby of five.
Yeah.
One of them is a paranoid schizophrenic and the other's, bipolar, a severe bipolar one.
Wow.
And so, like, they just kind of wait around seeing which one's the next one that's going to go crazy. not to offend anyone with the term crazy, but, you know, basically, yeah.
Okay, the old wives' tale is that people go into the mental health field to fix themselves.
Yeah. Pretty much I was exposed to a lot growing up with all that, and it just seemed to be the right path for me.
Gigi?
What's the question again?
Why did you go into that field? I know you're not in it now, but why did you go into it in the first place?
Actually, a big part of why I went into it was because I wanted to start my own nonprofit organization.
Okay.
As you know, I'm extremely ADHD and have dyslexia and a whole host of other learning differences. I have a rare one that's called auditory decoding problems.
What's that?
Basically, the sense of hearing goes to a processor in the brain, and it says it decodes whether this is a sound like a musical sound or a decoding sound like speech.
Oh.
And what it does is it says, okay, if this is a musical sound, it goes to the music center of the brain. If it's a decoding sound, a word, then it goes to the language part of the brain. Well, when you have the type of disability I have, what happens is that the signals get crossed. Mm-hmm. So sometimes music goes to the word side, and I try to make words out of music.
Ooh.
And then sometimes words go to the musical sound side, and so I hear... I can't decode the word because it's in the wrong part of the brain. And so I'm hearing the sounds, but I'm not hearing the words.
I hadn't heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a very rare learning disability. Okay. At one point, they thought I was MR and deaf, and they found out just the opposite. I'm have very high IQ. My hearing exceeds on both ends of the spectrum. And so it's just very paradoxical.
I actually grew up with a lot of learning disabilities myself.
Really?
Oh, okay.
I have ADD without the hyperactivity. A language processing disorder.
Yeah.
And dysgraphia.
Oh, okay.
Which is...
I'm dysgraphic, too.
Wow!
What is dysgraphic, though?
I don't know.
Dysgraphia
is a handwriting disorder.
Okay.
Dysgraphia, you tend to make... You may flip numbers... Or you flip letters when you're reading, or flip words around in a sentence.
When you're writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And then there's dyscalculia, which I also have, which is a problem with numbers. I can't add and subtract. And I can do, I took calculus and higher math, I excelled in it. I still can't pass basic math.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway, that's what kind of led me into it, was that I wanted to open a center for people with learning disabilities for adults, because there's lots of help for kids, but back then, as soon as you got out of high school, you fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the center never got a foothold.
Even when I was a teen,
came real close to funding for it, and they said, "Well, if you work with kids, we'll fund you."
Oh, brother! Yeah, that's not the point.
Even with kids, a lot of kids even today still fall through the cracks.
Oh, they do. But there's even today there's very little support for adults after you exit high school. There's just nothing there. There's programs.
If you go to college sometimes, if you have documentation.
Yeah, college there systems are programs developing now.
But. Okay. The difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist, I think, is that a psychiatrist can write prescriptions.
And kind of. I'll even add a third realm into that, and that's a therapist, separate from a psychologist and a psychiatrist.
Okay.
A psychiatrist is an MD.
Okay.
Therefore, can write scripts and they've had it's a medical doctor, an MD, that's had specialized training in psych issues.
Okay.
Then you have a psychologist that is usually a PhD or some sort of other doctorate degree, focusing on psychology and sub psychologists if they've had the coursework and the training, can write scripts if they've gotten the special permission to do that. That's new in the last couple of years.
Oh,
yeah.
That some psychologists are able to do scripts if they've had the organic chemistry and all the background for that to do that.
Okay.
There's another important distinction, too.
Yeah.
Psychologists can do
projective
testing.
Projective testing, yes.
Yeah.
Like the Rorschach and such.
Oh.
Yeah. Whereas I, as a social worker, I'm not qualified to do testing.
Right.
The master's, you have to have a PhD level.
My thought is that...
And then, let me jump in also.
Oh, okay.
And then you have a therapist, which is what myself is, or Gigi, where we have a master's level education, and we were able to do a therapist and work as, work in the community and be, work functional as a therapist full-time. But we can't. The main limitations are we can't do projective testing, like the Rorschach test, for example, and we can't do any kind of scripts, medication scripts or medical diagnosing.
Okay, so this what kind of testing was that again?
Projective.
And what does that mean?
It would be like an IQ test, ink blot test.
And what does an ink blot test tell you?
Oh, quite a bit. Or it can't. Well, it's not one test.
Depending on the theory.
Yeah. Well, no one test in isolation can tell you much.
Okay.
You take a battery of tests, and then you can get, like I had a neuropsychological done, full neuropsych. And in that, they test not only how your brain's working, but how your senses are working with your brain. And so they give you tests where you feel things behind a cloth, and then try to figure out which picture it goes to.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that your sense of touch is getting the right signals to the brain.
I get it.
Okay. So there's a lot of different testing they can do.
Yeah.
Let me finish one other thing. The type of testing that I can do is evaluations.
Uh-huh.
I can do a mental status exam.
And I can as well.
Yeah. I can do a lot of different types of evaluation type testing.
Where you do what?
Basically evaluate where a person is.
Okay.
If they're stable.
And because of your education, you know this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also with that, I'm also able to do... career counseling, career assessments, that kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. I have always been pro-therapists and psychologists because way of thinking...
Jimmy, I think it's just because you like to, for them to get you on the couch.
Well, that may be. No. Because to me, I, and this may be... I have no basis for thinking it this way. It's just my mother had mental health issues all my life growing up. And she saw a psychiatrist, not very often because we were poor. But to my way of thinking, in many cases, a psychiatrist writes scripts and these medications just kind of mask the symptoms, and they never really get to the root of the problem. Now, I understand if you're writing a script for people who are bipolar or have something like that, but for people who just need to... That do not have those serious problems. Well, why go to a psychiatrist?
Well, even if you have bipolar, the medication therapy should still be paired with some sort of counseling.
Well, yes.
Definitely.
It needs to be paired with
somebody. Yeah, but so often you hear about these people who are bipolar and they see their psychiatrist once a year to get their prescription renewed.
And that's different because that, you know, seeing your psychiatrist, granted, you honestly should be seeing your psychiatrist about once a month if you're bipolar, schizophrenia, a number of those.
Well, I have to qualify that a little bit.
But once you're paired with therapy.
You have to have a timeline here. Yeah. Initially, yes. But after you become stabilized over many, many years, you can...
Right. Well, I think that's my argument, because my mother never got stabilized.
Yeah.
And they never really knew what the problem was.
But that's the key word, is stabilization.
And my father lived his whole life thinking that there's going to be a magic pill to make her better, when my thought was, you know, this woman's got some problems that she needs to talk out and find out the root of them, and nobody's doing this.
Yeah.
So that, but I think maybe that because of that, I've always been pro-therapy rather than psychiatry.
But I did want to clarify that, because I don't want people to think, oh, if I go and see somebody, I'm going to be into this once a month or whatever frequency for the rest of my life. It doesn't need to be
once
that
a week
way.
Is fine.
And, you know, it's just this sense of, when I go, if I have a problem and I go to see somebody about that problem, a lot of times just having someone to hear me.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
I am going to get to that. Trust me.
Can be a big help.
Yes. I still want this to be 101. I don't want to get run off on tangents and get too complicated here.
Sure.
What kind of classes do you take to become a therapist?
Let's see. You take the general gambit of classes would be a DSM class.
Diagnostic manual.
Diagnostic statistical manual.
An encyclopedia of all diseases?
Of all the
mental illnesses?
Of psychiatric disorders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on DSM-4 now. We're actually on 4TR. Which is text revision.
Oh, okay.
And we
got to get basic here, folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm actually hoping that we'll have the DSM-5 out pretty soon. And the 5 will hopefully have some changes to some of the, you know, add a couple things that need to be added.
Yeah.
And subtract a few things that need to be subtracted.
Well, things change all the time.
It's an evolving book. Like, if you look at the DSM-1 and 2, up till 3, you know, even up to DSM-3, homosexuality was a mental disorder.
And then 3R.
You know, 3R and 4, it has, you know, after 1973, shows it as not, you know.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah. In my case, I have experience with personality disorder, multiple personality disorder, which is now something else.
Not yourself, but...
No, someone else. No, someone else. It's an interesting case that I have been in therapy with someone who is MPD.
Which is actually now called dissociative.
Yes.
Disorder.
Okay. As a support for this person. So we go to therapy together, and I'm supporting her. And we've been doing this a very long time, and she is now able to live in society on her own. When I first met her, she was this little kind of mouse crouching in the corner, afraid of everything. And now she's fully functional, living with the disorder.
And DSM is very unique. Dissociative disorder is a very unique disorder. It's fairly rare.
It's
not a very common thing. Basically, what happens is you've had usually some sort of traumatic experience that's caused basically a shattering of the psyche, the consciousness. And to a point that it splits into different personalities as a way to protect itself.
It's always child sexual abuse.
Not always. It's predominantly.
Yeah.
But not always.
Really? Yeah.
There are cases where
there's cases. It's just, but usually it's a point of
it's
abuse.
It's a traumatic abuse.
It's traumatic.
It's yeah. where,
but not always sexual abuse.
Yeah. But people with this disorder just see life differently. And it's interesting to be around them.
Well, quite literally, they're seeing it from different eyes.
Yes,
different.
Yeah. Absolutely.
One thing I would like to distinguish here, mm-hmm. because mental health is a big...
I know.
Wide
and that's
field.
Why I want to keep yeah. it really...
Yeah, well,
really,
I'm going to simplify yeah. it mm-hmm. a little bit here. Some of the disorders we're talking about are kind of on the far extreme end.
Yes.
Yeah. There's many things like mild depression, mm-hmm. which is very treatable with a very short term going in, mm-hmm. talking,
well,
possibly getting on medications, possibly not.
That's kind of the next place I want to go.
A major depressive disorder.
Yeah. With that, you know, adjustment disorder.
Yeah. yeah.
Something that you're just having trouble dealing with, the one issue that's come up in your life. It could be mm-hmm. Maybe in this current economy you got laid off.
Yeah.
And you're having trouble really dealing with that, you know, whether it be that rejection or that just, you know, the stress
yeah.
of that situation.
Oh, yeah.
And so you deal with that certain issue in your life, and then you move on and, you know, you're fine. You
and
know?
I wanted to kind of clarify that people can go to counseling for more than just something
okay.
major.
Okay.
You
before,
can go for something very minor.
Before we go there, I still want to know some of the other classes that you take.
Okay.
That make you qualified
well,
to do this, do what you do.
You take an abnormal psychology course where you get some of the more maybe rare things, but
more
the
extreme.
Stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Which goes over, for instance, kind of overview of, you know, the more extreme stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We take a developmental class, which, you know, is basically looking at human development at certain stages and looking at different theories of human development.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, career counseling,
mm-hmm.
of course. Let's see, just kind of trying to remember a whole transcript here.
I can maybe help out. Well, social work's a little different from other yeah. fields of mental health because there's two major branches of social work. There's clinical social work where someone's prepared as a therapist, and then there's kind of a bigger picture social work where it's more working with organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And more at a supervisory level. And so the training's a little different for both. Now, I kind of went in a cross-track where I took some counseling and some social work in working with institutions.
Yeah.
Part of social work, though, is always looking at person and situation. That's kind of a big... framework. And it's so we look at family dynamics, we look at and take classes on family dynamics.
It's systemic. It's very systemic based.
Yeah. We do a lot of, you know, we study all the masters from the past, from Freud all the way up through
mm-hmm.
Jung and and Maslow and
okay.
All the way to, you know, the more Bergerian humanitarian theory.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a volunteer at the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. And we had extensive training in active listening, is what mm-hmm. we called it. And we weren't there to solve anybody's problems. We were the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And... everything that we were taught was to get the person on the other end to open up. We didn't have any training on diagnosis or anything like that. We had enough training to know to kind of make a distinction of whether this person, we should keep talking to this person or get this person to see a therapist. So what I'm saying is that we handled very, 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 very basic things.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who still had problem relationships, problems, depression, shame, guilt, problems at work, and these, we push these people to see therapists. And my question is, how do you, I don't want you to have to give away any therapist secrets, but how do you sit and talk to somebody and then figure out what their problem is?
It's, I think a big part of it's having a knack for it.
Mm-hmm. So there's some talent involved.
There's a natural talent to it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'd say a third of it is training.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained to kind of listen for certain things that someone's talking about. And I can't really describe it better than that, is that I'm just...
Because you'd be giving away secrets?
Well, no, just because I don't know how to describe it. Just I know how to listen to someone talking and then to listen for certain things and to ask those questions to see what's going, more deeply what's going on with that person.
I mean, I've known you for all these months and you've been analyzing me?
Always.
That's how come you know me so well. Do you do that with all your friends?
I can't help it.
Okay.
I really can't help it.
It's really?
You just do it naturally.
You just do it? Mm-hmm. Really?
And Gigi's nodding her head.
Yeah.
Well, once you go through certain trainings, like learning how to do a mental status exam,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you work in the field where you're doing it daily,
yeah.
after a while it becomes so automatic. It's like it's like learning to drive a car. At first it's real hard to shift the gears and not screech the tires.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while it becomes an automatic function. You can't quite shut it off.
And that's the purpose of going to school first mm-hmm. and then having an internship and having training after. Well, like right now I have a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet with him once a week. Many people probably in our community know him. Probably know Daniel Garces.
Mm-hmm.
He's my LPC supervisor. He's won the Outsmart Therapist of the Year several years in the past. Mm-hmm. And I meet with Daniel once a week, and I just kind of go over what issues, any questions I have, questions on technique. And through, this continual process, I learn how to be... an optimal therapist. How to be, a good,
Yes, I get it.
Yeah.
And there's some things that in counseling you just can't learn from books. You have to have that internship.
Absolutely.
That
agree.
Person sitting there with you, reviewing stuff with you, and going, okay, here's some insights. And after mm-hmm. a while, it just becomes second nature.
And with
from
that,
going through that process.
I believe it helps, the more diversified experiences you have, it helps. Actually, recently, this is the point where I do my shameless plug for where I'm working now.
No, go ahead.
this is, I just recently left a position to go from contract to full time.
Mm-hmm.
Was working as an adolescent therapist.
Yeah.
And now I'm working at Intracare Hospital mm-hmm. On the DAPA unit, which means I focus on dual diagnosis, which is persons that have mental health issue combined with substance abuse.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it's inpatient, so we're working with people.
Well, wouldn't they all be that way? I mean, if you have a substance abuse, it's because you have a problem.
Mm-mm. No,
not
no?
necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Oh.
There are a lot of people with bipolar disorder or other issues that may try to self-treat their illness using illicit drugs or using things to try to balance out their moods or stabilize themselves. Although that's by not any stretch imagination or mind. The best way to do it because you don't know, mainly because you don't know what you're getting. You don't know, it's very, at least with current medications, you have that's regulated, and you know what, you know.
Well, also, there is an importance in taking, when you go in for to a psychiatrist and you get on a regime, medication regime, it's stable. It's not going to fluctuate.
Right.
Whereas if you're doing illicit drugs, you may get high one day and then 3 days be dry 3 days and... And depending on supply and demand and the cash you have.
And the quality of the drugs.
And the quality of the drugs.
You know, if, if...
And so it's a very unstable way to medicate.
Even if I suffered from depression more than I do, I wouldn't want to take a drug if I could talk to somebody and find out what the problem, you know, the root of the depression is. And... that's kind of why I like therapy, because to me it's if you have a problem in your life, who do you go to talk to about it? Any friend is going to have a bias. Any relative is going to have a bias. What you need, to my way of thinking, is that disinterested third party who can stand outside the forest and look in and be more objective. Plus, as a therapist, you here comes Chris. If you're a therapist, you have training, you have knowledge that just a friend wouldn't have.
And any just as my strictly my opinion here, but every therapist should have their own therapist.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I'm going to have issues.
No man is an island.
You know, if I'm taking on everyone else's
issues
or talk, I'm going to need someone who I can trust and someone who's confidential who I can talk to. And I do.
And unload them.
That I can unload them.
And then, I'd like to bring up another point you touched on. I think... from my background and through all my experiences, I've even starting out, I had this philosophy, but it became even more strong as I went on. Medication should be last resort.
After I
agree. Everything else.
I totally agree. Unless you're bipolar. Or
unless you have a very severe chemical imbalance.
Yeah.
And then, but that's still kind of last resort.
I'm with you on that.
And there's a lot of, I was into a lot of alternative types of therapies. I was kind of a pioneer in my day. I was very much into teaching a lot of my clients how to meditate and how to do stress reduction techniques.
Absolutely.
And anger management techniques.
Yes.
And empowering my clients to take on power over their own lives and giving them the tools to do that. A lot of therapists, when I was back in that day, didn't go that route. They, in fact, some of them went real fast into, let's get this person on medication. So I wanted to kind of throw that on.
Okay.
And is that check out your the person you're going to. Find out what their background is. That is totally legitimate to ask.
Okay, let me... We need to take a break here and pitch, don't we?
Well, we do have one person. Well, actually,
we do?
I think we have two to thank.
Okay.
I know of one. There's one out there I found, but I'm hoping it's incompletely filled.
Yeah.
Robert's not here to verify it.
Oh, yeah, he had to leave. Yeah. He had a headache.
Yeah, Ozzy handed me one a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very generous pledge.
We'd like to thank James, who says he always enjoys the show, and still enjoys the show. Apparently, he's been a previous donator.
Good, good, good.
He says, keep up the good work.
He
donated
James.
To us one-third of our goal, $100.
Wow, okay.
And we're still waiting on that generous person that still wants to go see Grease.
Oh, for 50.
For the $50 plastic pledge.
A minimum of 50.
Minimum
if you want to put 100 on plastic, you'll still get the ticket.
It's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT.
That's right, and that will keep us going strong for another 21 years. We want to be here for you. We are we are a slice of gay life every week, and it's messy, and it's
just a slice.
It's just a slice.
And it's always something different every week.
It is. Yeah. It is. Sometimes, you know, we have to give memorials. Sometimes, well, we have the varied shows here.
It's like vaudeville.
Many times. And this.
All right, so I'll go topless for the vaudeville. Oh, geez.
Because this is community radio, we are all amateurs. Everyone here is an amateur. Just because I've been here for 21 years does not make me a professional by far.
Amen.
Well, who said that?
But depends on what you mean by amateur. Amateur what?
What you get, I think, is far more richer than a lot of commercial radio stations because you get real people.
Yeah, I mean, we can be those
with all our foibles.
Yeah, we can be that canned trio you hear over a little further down on the FM dial.
Yeah, where,
and sometimes you get real live nude girls.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But what we offer to you is, like I said, it's messy, it's unsanitized.
And sometimes it sucks. Well, yeah. So, you know, our shows, sometimes, you know, some shows are better than others. It all depends on the people here that night and what they're doing. And
we are
and
completely unscripted.
The mentality of we come
to
in.
To clarify, we are slightly sanitized.
Yeah.
Well, there's enough hand sanitizer around the studio.
Yeah.
But no, the fact is that, you know, we don't, you know, what you get here is reality. We don't script it. We don't plan. Sometimes we don't know who's coming in.
If they're coming in.
How things are going to work. Sometimes we run stuff on the fly. You know, sometimes we burn through the internet trying to find stories to inform and just to start off a general discussion.
Definitely, and KPFT is the original reality series.
And, you know, with what we do here, you know, you're not going to love what we do 24 every time we were on here. Hell, I don't like what we do half.
More than half the time.
I'm sorry, is my Freudian slip showing here? You know,
I think it fell on the floor.
And as long as we're not satisfied with the show, we will be improving it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping Big Brother's not watching us because we're going to be in trouble most of the time here. You know?
Yeah, I know.
And we're serious when we remember to sign off the show and we ask you for story ideas and ideas of what to do, because we want to cover the community. We want to cover all aspects. We want to have the lesbians back. We want to have African Americans. We want to have the Latino. We have a transgender segment. We have the leather segment. We want to have more of the community because, you know, Jimmy's an old fart in there. Although he's nursing.
Again.
Yeah. I can nurse too.
I'm the one with the set. Yeah, you know, I'm the one here with the set to be nursing with. But, you know.
That's not what he was nursing.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy's an old white fart.
I'm so old.
I'm beginning to be an old white fart. I can't tell you what it's like to be a black lesbian in today's society.
Right.
I can't tell you what it is to be Asian American and queer, you know. And that's why we want input from the community. We want the voices out there to do it. We are one of the most diverse shows on this station.
I think we are the most diverse show.
Yeah, when the other shows were saying, we need more kids programming, we need more youth programming, we had it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it for so long that the kids that started the show, that you couldn't be out, you know, when you turned 21...
have already been in rehab 3 times.
Jimmy said that. I didn't.
And of course. Do you think Jimmy's hair was that gray when we started?
Oh, no. No, it's the show that did it.
And of course, Gigi has spun poor Jimmy's head around so many times on the show. Coming in, him not knowing what I was going to do, and then I dropped this bombshell.
It's always a joy because it's something off the cuff and something, and you know, something that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Hell, I don't tell Jimmy sometimes when I'm coming in. I love the look on Jimmy's face when I say I'm doing something, and he's like,
"Oh God,
what?
Oh God."
And I'll be honest with you, half the time my response to him is, do you trust me? No.
I think he's afraid because he knows what will happen if he says no.
I can tell you, after hours is definitely cutting edge.
Oh, yes. I agree. We've had a teen segment since 94. We've had bisexuality here since 93, haven't we?
I think was it before that? No, it's before that.
Really?
It was in the early...
We've had a transgender show since 94. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we've been here.
Mm-hmm. We've had fat fags here since 95, at least. I've been here at least 12 years.
We've got fat fags, we've got old fags, we've got it.
We've got them in all shapes and sizes, we just need to get more color.
Mm-hmm. And all age ranges, too.
Yeah.
So true.
And that's the part of what we want, and so you can send us, if you have a story idea, something we should cover, any events, it's afterhours@kpft.org. For those of you who don't like what you hear on the show, send us an email. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. I'm throwing down the glove
and
again.
Tell us what you like, too.
Yeah.
Tell us what you like, tell us what you love.
Tell us what you want to hear.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Mm-hmm. But now I have to tell you, you're listening to After Hours.
We might do it.
Hold on. Well, you know, we've crossed those lines before.
Oh, boy.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, where you can place your pledge of support safely and securely online, kpft.org. Just make sure you click on the button to give us credit in making our goal. Or you can call 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, and you can talk to one of the crew out there.
That's right.
I think right now Ozzy's on.
Oh, cool.
There's a few out there. He's a lot of fun.
The rest are sucking fags on the back.
Wouldn't be the first time.
We have told you what After Hours is about, and I think that deserves your support. I think that you should be more than happy to call in a pledge of support to keep this show on the air. We have a lot of long-term listeners. I hear from you all the time. I see your names year after year after year with your pledges of support.
Jimmy, let's add a few more years onto that.
As we are in real life, we're looking for virgins as well.
Not the ones that's in the studio.
We've had enough of that virgin.
There are people who have been listening to this show since I started here. And that was 6 months after the show first went on the air. I walked into the studio because I remember their names from way back when, and they're still listening. We have people who have listened to this show to get them through from their scared teenage closeted years to becoming fully fledged GLBT citizens.
Or you want to talk about along with the subject we're dealing with. We know for a fact that one of our transgendered segments, there was a listener in her garage ready to end her life until the fact that this show said something to her.
Yeah.
And said, you're not alone. There's people out there who care and are willing to help you to figure out the next place of where you're at. Because that's one thing with radio is it's a unique experience. You know, you can go on the internet, especially talking there to the youth out there. A lot of people are afraid of you're going to find on the internet. So the parents are out there, they're watching. The smart ones are out there watching what their kids are going on to, checking the history, putting in the blockers. And of course, you know, some of these blockers are so strong, you put in gay, you put in queer, you put in fag, it's going to block it.
Yeah.
It's going to send them a note. Some of these filters are so strong, if you type in breast cancer, it's going to raise a red flag.
Yeah. That's
so these kids can't get, you know, even though there's a lot of good information and a hell of a lot of bad information out there on the internet, some of the youth can't get to it because they're afraid their parents are going to find out that way. Television is great, but, you know, you get a different sanitized look. I mean, unless you have Logo at home, and even then you really don't have that much gay programming.
That's true.
It's getting better. You know, what your best option is, you know, Lifetime watching reruns of Will and Grace.
That's not real.
Or Golden Girls.
That's not real life.
And that's not showing you this community. It's not giving you anything current.
Yeah.
And plus, you have to have the television in your room, and you have to have the, you know, the digital cable so that you can get the Logo station if you're in the Comcast area. But the beauty of radio is it's portable and it's private. You can get this radio show and only cost you $1.50. Because you can go, let's round up to $2, because okay. You can go down to the dollar store, and they all sell FM radios for $1.
Yep.
And you get a four-pack of AA batteries, will cost you another dollar. And you have got your access to this community for $2. And so that the kids can listen to this, because radio waves can break through closet doors. And someone out there who is queer questioning, who's not sure where, you know, where they are in the community and feel that they're alone, can have that access to this community and hear that there's people who care, people who give a damn, who want you to survive and to thrive. And like I said, they can do that for $2. Parents aren't going to find out they're listening to the show.
Right.
You know, when I was, you know, I was younger, I was still in my, I was in my 20s, I was going to college at the time when I discovered this show. And I used to listen to this show with a, what's called a pillow speaker, which basically looks like a, you know, a hockey puck on a string that you plug into your radio.
Yeah.
Or, you know, diaphragm on a rope. That you,
it's not very big at all.
Yeah, that you're supposed to be able. You plug it into the radio, and you can put it in your pillow, and
or on the pillow,
on your pillow, and you could hear the show. And that's how I started listening to the show. That's how I became a part of this. Was finding out it was here, and then liking what I heard, and finding out more about the community, and coming in with a, you know. Called in a pledge of support, came in later on, dropped off a pledge of support in person.
Mm-hmm, he sure did. And we threw his ass on the air.
Drunk.
And surprisingly enough, myself, I mean, it's like, if you think about it, it's been about 2 weeks shy of a year since I started coming to After Hours.
And
I'm still here.
And now you're the intern.
Exactly. Sitting on the other side of the glass from you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things.
It's better to be on that side.
And here, and here's the culprit that brought me here. Here's the guilty culprit that brought me.
Oh.
Just turned 21.
But no, that's the thing of what we have on here is we, you know, we're not the beautiful people even if you see on Queer as Folk. You know,
we're the real people.
We're the real people. You're not, you know, like I said, unless we have the hat segment or. You know, Mark, or maybe slutty Sean out there.
Oh yeah.
We're not the type you see on the Queer as Folk that you'd be seeing.
No.
You know, we're a realer slice of what we've got.
We are.
So we need you to call 713-526-5738, 713 Jam KPFT, or go to kpft.org.
Why don't we play some music while they're dialing in?
Sure.
So they don't miss any of this. We're going to come back because this is a segment that's going to be to be continued because we haven't even started covering it.
But before we go, I do want to say one last thing.
Yes, dear.
I remember when I was very young, I felt like I was an alien. I didn't know anyone else in my life that was anywhere nearly remotely like me.
You're
with
very
the feelings
different.
I had.
Yeah.
And back then, when I was very young, there wasn't a show like this.
No.
I thought I was all alone, an alien. And I think that's one of the things that just opened the door for me was when I first discovered some of the books, GLBT books.
Yes. That was it for us. That's all.
And all of a sudden, a whole new door opened.
Yeah. And this radio show has done that for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
So let's hear some music. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
And here we go.
Oh, here's one. Become what you've always wanted to be. Your new body awaits you at gym. Great.
Is there something wrong with your old one?
Right here. Okay. This is it. Page 37, our local gay newspaper. Laser hair removal. Prices starting at $99. Botox, collagen, Symetra, microderm abrasion, laser treatment for wrinkles, dark marks, unwanted tattoos, red faces, and broken blood vessels. Mole removal, glycolic chemical peels, acne, facials, eyelid surgery, brow lift, facelift, scar revision.
Scar revision. That's interesting.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are.
body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
Well, that caught me unawares, actually.
Well, like I said, we were getting ready to...
We were going
to
give you
to play a very appropriate song for the segment. I found it, finally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll go out with it.
All right.
Sounds good. That?
I guess this means I need to start planning on music.
Justin and JG should be in here shortly.
Yeah. Well, that was Mark Weigel.
Weigel, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. With Love Your Body Like It Is.
Yeah.
Featuring Lonnie Tuck.
Virgin.
That's okay.
Okay.
I don't know where Gigi went. I've really enjoyed this segment, and I want to continue it. I think we haven't really scratched the surface. I want to reiterate, though, that sometimes when you seem to be confused in life because of relationship problems or depression or... fill me in on some other basic problems that people have.
Just, you know, maybe a change in career.
Yeah.
Family stress.
Mm-hmm.
Especially around the holidays.
Oh, yeah. What I'm saying to you is there are times that you need that disinterested third party.
Maybe you just had a bad day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just need... to talk, and believe you me, I learned this by being a phone operator at the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. So many of your problems that you think are insurmountable disappear once you're able to voice them. When you talk about that problem to another person, all of a sudden... you realize it's not the end of the world. But when it's all of that problem is trapped inside your head, I don't think you can think clearly. You've got to enunciate it. And that's why I am such a proponent of therapy.
Yeah, one thing I was going to drop in before about that was, you know, I was diagnosed with depression at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And went into therapy to try and start the process.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, at that time and how old I was, it was all about warehousing and drugging the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, you know, I guess I was a little bit lucky I wasn't warehoused in it, but, you know, my therapist wanted to get me quickly into group therapy where they can make the extra... You charge out the sessions. And I wasn't ready for that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to vent to a large group. I still wanted the one-on-one. And so I stepped out of it for a while. And it took me several years when I finally became an adult and had some stuff happen. And I decided I needed to get some help.
Mm-hmm.
And went to it. And it took a couple of therapists to find that I went to Mount Rose Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm.
Got assigned to one, and you know, she didn't push me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need that push, and eventually,
I think that's subject for another session, mm-hmm. So to speak.
And
I've had to choose the right therapist,
and you know, it took getting a South Carolina lesbian taught at LSU. therapist to get me on the right track.
Oh.
To finally, you know, look at me and go, you know, to actually sit there and look at you in the face and go, you know, we're not getting anywhere. You know, you're wasting my time. I'm wasting your time. You know, it's time to, you know, do it or get off the pot.
Whoa. When I put it to you that way.
And, like, you know, and it was like all of a sudden that bitch slap,
so to speak,
started to get things flowing again.
Yeah.
And she said, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to get the emotion out of you to start. And to be able to go to another point of saying, you know, you sit there and start talking, and she goes, you know, pardon my French, but that's just bull. And that's sometimes what you need, is someone who's going to not let you just sit there and, you know.
And I think that's probably the talent of a therapist, to be able to know when you can say that to a patient.
Sounds like you had a therapeutic enema right there, you know.
and she was great about it. And it got to a point, you know, I started working through things, and it got to a point in my life where, you know, I did some writings of some stuff and showed it to her, and she asked if she could share it with her other clients.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was something very therapeutic I had done. And she said, you know, you're getting to a point where you don't need me anymore. You're starting to figure out the answers for yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was something I needed at that point. And I'll tell you, there's some times lately that...
May want to go again, huh?
Well, where it's like, can I go track down Jane?
I understand what you mean, though, because I did when I lived in Florida, I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of anger issues, mm-hmm. everything going on. I just finally got tired of it. I couldn't work through it by myself. I needed somebody to help
me
out.
That disinterested third party.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough...
With talent.
Yeah. This guy...
Let me clarify something. I wouldn't that say a disinterested third party.
No, it definitely wasn't disinterested.
Because therapist is going to be very interested.
Yeah.
Your therapist will be very interested in what you
I'm
said.
Sorry.
But what helped me out is I went online.
Uh-huh.
Because we didn't... out in South Florida, they didn't have what we have here in Houston.
Like...
Where Justin works and...
like the Montrose Counseling Center?
They didn't have all that.
Or gay and lesbian Yellow Pages where you could look up a gay therapist?
I mean, they had the Yellow Pages, but, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of therapists in there. So, you know what? I went online.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug to a dying breed, but I went on to AOL's and was looking through there, and I found a gay therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him and scheduled an appointment to go see him and everything. And I went to that man for probably close on a year. I didn't have insurance, so I paid for it all out of my pocket. That was the best year of therapy that I could have ever done voluntarily, because I worked through so many issues in my life, including issues with parental units,
mm-hmm.
i.e. my dad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I was angry with him. I worked through all my angry issues, put everything that was not important where it should have been. Put the baggage back in the closet, back on the shelf, and get it out of my life. That way I could be a productive human being and try to find somebody that I wanted in my life,
mm-hmm.
without all the baggage attached.
Yeah.
And I thank God I found that therapist. I mean, if I had gone, I could have probably gone to any therapist, but I don't think I would have gotten the help that I needed from a straight therapist, because I don't think they would have understood some of the issues that I was trying to deal with.
I totally agree.
But I found a gay therapist who was in a committed relationship. He told me all about him and his partner and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat down with me, and... he was a human being. He wasn't trying to be a clinician or anything like that. He was an actual human being. Sat there and just... His favorite question to me during every session we had.
Yeah.
No matter what we talked about, his favorite question to me was, why?
Oh, boy.
Actually had me have to think about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
He would ask me, why? And believe me... Because he did that at every session, it made me realize, you're an idiot, Wes. But I thank him. And I wish he could hear me today so that he could hear me thanking him, even though I thanked him at the end of every session, especially when I handed him my check. But I thank him for everything he did for me to help me work through those issues that I couldn't work through by myself.
And that's my point. That is my point.
So to the two guys in the studio with you over there, if your clients haven't said it, thank you. Because it's people like you guys that make a difference in a lot of gay men, gay women, in our lives. We couldn't do it without people like you to help us work through those issues. So, again, thank you.
Okay, I've enjoyed this. It's been a great show. And, Justin, now you're on the hook for at least once a quarter. Can you handle it?
I'll find a way to deal with it. Even if I need to find help to help me deal with it.
Oh, I can help.
I'll deal with it.
I know, Gigi, I brought you into this at the last moment. I have no idea what you had planned on doing tonight.
Oh, I've got some things, but we can put that off.
Okay.
But I would like to jump in here say something about counseling in general.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting. I studied ancient civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
And in ancient Greece, they had theater. Unlike our theater, the audience was active. During Greek tragedies, they would get down and pound the floor. They'd pull their hair out. They'd pound their chest. They'd wail and scream and bring out this catharsis in an appropriate setting.
Get out.
We don't have that in our society.
Except for football.
Or counseling is a good place to reach catharsis, and sometimes that's all it takes is to take all that anger and the negative bad feelings and be able to express them appropriately instead of bottling them up inside.
And you two are the guys who know how to recognize that and get your client to do it.
So I do salute you on that.
But I
did want to point out that feature of our civilization is that we have very few avenues for people to appropriately express the negative emotions.
Especially...
Or to say things like, I have feelings I can't tell anybody else.
Especially in Western culture that is at times very shame-based.
Yes.
Not just for GLBT issues, but for a multitude of issues.
Oh, yeah.
And so being able to, get that out, or, for lack of a better phrase, going to a place where, someone knows your name.
And to do it in a confidential setting.
Yes. Confidential meaning that, maybe real quick, we should clarify what confidentiality means in a therapy setting.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because that's very important. You want to make sure your therapist isn't telling your stuff. Right.
Confidentiality in a therapeutic setting means that, I'm hearing chuckling. Okay.
It must be something else.
Okay. Confidentiality means that that I legally cannot take what you're telling me in a therapeutic setting and tell it to other people or release it to other people, with some exceptions.
Yeah.
Those being that if you tell me about abuse to a child, an elderly person, or someone who's disabled, I have to report that to CPS or APS or the required authorities.
And certainly if you've murdered somebody, tell your therapist that.
Well, if you have intent to harm someone else, yourself or someone else, then I need to break confidentiality to protect,
Sure.
And also, if I'm subpoenaed by a court, I've got to break confidentiality. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If my records are subpoenaed by a court, then I have to release those records to that court.
But that's going to be very rare.
Now, I do have control over what I can, submit to the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I can write a summary and I'm not going to necessarily, turn over tapes or what.
Details.
Yeah.
Sure. But I have to release information to the court if the court requests it.
And one of the things
that is pretty rare, though. It's not very common that that happens.
Mm-hmm. You see that mostly on TV shows.
Yeah. Like Law and Order and stuff. Mm-hmm.
It's very rare. In fact, I've never...
In 15 years, you never had that happen?
Never got subpoenaed for records. See. Now, I did have to go to court when I was working for Mobile Crisis from time to time because people didn't want to consent for services and they turned out to be a threat to self or others.
So
we had to get them the situation handled. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different ballgame. Okay.
We do need to wrap this up because I can see that Chris is gearing up for a little round table here at the end of the show. Am I correct?
Yes. He's over there playing with the videos right now while he's looking up news stories.
Is he on GayTube again?
No.
I want to say one last thing.
Yes.
If someone out there is having emotional problems and feeling kind of at the end of their ropes, and you're afraid of going in to counseling or calling the crisis hotline, know this. It can be a lifeline. It can really make a big difference.
Even if you just start
and
out with
it may take all the courage you can muster to make that phone call or to reach out to somebody. But it can make all the difference in your life.
You can start by giving the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard a call. 713-529-3211. That number is etched in my memory. These folks will be the ear you can talk to. And if maybe you that's all you need, but maybe you need more than that. And they can steer you to counselors. They're great folks over there. Don't be afraid to call. 24 hours a day. Yeah,
definitely don't be afraid to call because, again, like I said, from personal experience, it's guys like these that make a difference in your life. Don't be afraid. We're there to. These guys are there to help you out. This show is here to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be John Wayne and be macho.
No.
Pick up the phone. Make a phone call. Walk over to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center.
Yeah.
Ask for the help.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. Nobody's going to look down at you.
No.
And go out there.
And if you do find yourself in need of some more serious mental help, I would encourage you to look up on the internet or come by Intracare Hospital. And it's a very...
Intracare? And where are you located?
I am located right where Fannin splits off to Night Road split off.
Oh.
Just south of the medical center. Intracare Hospital is located right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, please come by and see us there. We'll do an intake and we can help you out, get things sorted out if, things are getting really overwhelming and you're feeling like you're a danger to yourself or others.
Okay.
Okay.
Justin, I want you to come back and I thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
We'll continue along the same line, I think, because I just don't feel that we've covered all I wanted to cover tonight. I don't think we could have.
Oh, no.
Gigi, thank you for being here.
Oh, you bet.
It's time for Roundtable, isn't it?
And yes, and we're going to go out on a little lighthearted song having to do with this theme.
Oh.
Romanofsky and Phillips. Uh-oh, I'm in love with my therapist.
Me smile when I am blue. He gives me answers when I really haven't got a single solitary clue. He makes my troubles seem so small. He's so handsome, dark and tall. He doesn't judge me when I regress.
His words are cloaked in tenderness. He's the lover I've never kissed. Oh no,
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 no, no, I'm in love.
I'm in love.
I'm in love.
He helps me strengthen my resolve. There's not a problem he can't solve. He's always cheerful. He's never a grouch. Ooh, I wanna lay down on his couch. We get along like soup and salad. He reassures me that my anger is valid. He thinks it's good when I get pissed. Oh no,
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 I'm in love with my therapist. My friends encouraged me to get some therapy.
Get some therapy.
Cause when you left me, I was such a mess. I thought life held no more for me till he opened up his door to me. And I found myself surrounded by his sympathy. He reinforces my self-esteem. He likes to analyze my dreams. He always listens when I speak. I wish I could afford to see him more than once a week. He lets me try out different roles. He pushes me to set some goals. Each hour we spend together is total bliss. Oh no,
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 no.
My friends encouraged me to get some therapy. Cause when you left me, I was such a mess. I thought it was the end for me, till he became a friend to me. And I found myself astounded by his empathy. He's got diplomas on his wall. There's fresh brewed coffee down the hall. He's got begonias on his windowsill. And Kleenex enough for a nuclear spill. He calls it progress when I cry. Oh, what a sweet and sensitive guy. Why couldn't you have been like this? Oh, no, 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 no.
I'm in love.
I'm in love.
I'm in love with my therapist.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm in love with my therapist.
Do you think I know that song a little bit, Wes?
Just a little.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know Romanofsky and Phillips, there was a time at the station that was the majority of what they had on this show. And back in the day when we didn't have, when before I got here, they didn't have guests show up, Jimmy would go into music mode. And quite often there was a Romanofsky and Phillips marathon. And I loved it. And eventually, it was, you know, this was the, these were the first gay musicians that I went out and bought their CD. I'm getting news stories out of there.
Yeah, whatever.
I know, right?
Is that what we're calling them these days?
Well, unfortunately, they, our friends over at Tola Road have not updated with their usual rear view mirror they have for the weekend.
Uh-oh. So where have you been going?
I've hit, you know, the Daily Rotten, I hit Drudge Report, I hit 365gay.com, I hit Squirt. So, I got a couple of
them. Did you go to Squirt for news or for something else?
For news.
Oh, okay.
Yes, uh-huh. I did actually find news there. Let's see what we have. Once again, Boy George has a new reason to sing Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Why does that not surprise me?
Boy George, who this week was spotted looking haggard and defeated, leaving his London home, was sentenced to 15 months in prison.
Again?
For false imprisonment of a male escort.
Again?
Again, yeah.
Again.
Well, this time he's actually going to go to jail.
Ooh, what?
During the trial at Snaresbrook Crown Court, the jury was told that O'Dowd, his real name, invited Carlson into his bedroom after a naked photo session in which they took cocaine. Then he ambushed him together with the help of an unnamed man. Carlson said the atmosphere changed when O'Dowd returned to the flat after ostensibly popping out to buy milk and cigarettes.
usually when you give the excuse you're leaving to go get cigarettes, you don't come back. So you should be
thankful. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. The altercation apparently stemmed from O'Dowd's belief that Carlson had attempted to hack into his computer. He said, then you'll get what you deserve. He was beaten and handcuffed to a wall fixture. Mm. When O'Dowd returned to a room with a box of leather straps, chains, and sex toys.
Yes. Sounds like a nice night at my house.
Sounds like the back patio of the Rip.
Yeah, I know. What are you talking about? That sounds like my apartment.
One man's poison's another man's pleasure. He said, now you're going to get it. Carlson told the jury that he only escaped after wrenching the fixture free, but was beaten with a chain by the singer as he fled into the street in East London.
Will somebody please invent a time machine and zap that man back to the 80s where he belongs?
You know, apparently I'm not the only one with a bad sense of humor. An apparent accidental allusion to Culture Club's 1982 number one hit, Heather Horton for the prosecution asked the jury to the trial, did he really have to hurt him?
Oh my God.
No.
Oh, wow.
Did we really have to go there?
Yeah, apparently.
Jeez.
God. Oh, it's a lovely tattoos he has on his head.
Why doesn't he have a life? Oh, wait a minute. He was part of Culture Club. Never mind.
And they actually have a video on there?
Yeah, they
Until very recently has been mostly related to a little white powdery substance going up his nose.
Lovely.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they did say Coke.
Kind of distorts realities.
Yeah. I don't think it's Coke in a glass, though, as well.
Yeah,
no,
that's not.
It's the pretty white stuff.
Yeah.
The nose candy.
That's not a carbonated drink anymore.
All right, sexual harassment suit in the NBA.
I have three pending at the moment.
really. Not the kind you wear, Michael.
It's involving. Let's get some more information here.
Knicks center Eddie Curry was slapped with a shocking sexual harassment suit yesterday by his former driver, who claims the 6'11" hoopster tried to solicit gay sex from him.
Wow. Oh, my.
Stunning court reports charge that Curry, a married father of several children, repeatedly approached chauffeur David Chutsky in the nude, saying, look at me, Dave. Look. Come and touch it, Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
Touch me. Why won't you touch me?
You know you want to. Basketball.
Hang from this rim.
I want to call the Justice basketball.
Curry 26 also
we
made Chusky.
Don't do that on the air anymore. Okay.
Chusky 26 also made Kaczynski perform humiliating tasks outside the scope of his employment, such as cleaning up and removing dirty towels into which Curry had ejaculated, so that his wife would not see him.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yeah, Curry, a former
closeted sports star, that never happened.
With several children.
With several
and
children.
A wife.
That never happens.
Now, here's the fun part. He was accused, the driver, Kaczynski, is Jewish, straight, and white. And he also claims there was racism of several very derogatory terms.
Nice.
And the funny thing is Curry, a former Chicago Bulls, said last night he was shocked at the allegations. It's false, and everyone knows me. I'm not a racist. Doesn't say anything about saying he was gay.
No.
Money's on the table, Vanilla.
that would have been nice compared to what else he said there.
Maybe the driver was more upset that he was maybe uncut versus cut.
You never know. Hate it when that happens.
But yeah, like I said, the funny thing is when you read this now is nothing saying I'm no fag. I wasn't waving it at him. He just says I'm not a racist.
So he denies one, but
And surprisingly,
he doesn't mention the other.
I would expect a sports celebrity to say, I didn't, I'm no fag, I didn't do that, I didn't, give him the towel, but he came out and said, I'm not a racist, I didn't call him those. I guess the nicest of the terms I can say that they have listed here is a cracker.
Wow.
That's God. That one's FCC non-compliant. Those are too nice.
Oh,
good. Last one, oh heaven.
Yeah, that's even though I could say that on the air, that's a nice bad thing to call.
Can we say triple letter?
Oh my god.
Triple letter word score.
Yeah. So You'll have to keep an eye out this for the New York Knicks.
Yahtzee. Scrabble.
Once again, in our continuing series of profiles in the sanctity of marriage.
I thought you were going to say the church.
Get ready.
As you know, we in the GLBT community are not allowed to get married.
Why?
Because it would destroy the sanctity of marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
Strangely enough, in the town of Normal, Ohio.
Normal?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Is that the opposite of
never mind. Erie, Pennsylvania?
Abnormal.
Is that related to Gary, Indiana at all?
No. Wedding bells meant Taco Bell for Paul and Carrie Brooks. Customers inside the fast food restaurant continued to order tacos and burritos as the couple sat Friday in an orange booth at Taco Bell and exchanged vows.
Oh, how sweet.
It's appropriate.
Vowels or vowels?
Vowels.
Okay. Just wanted to double check on that.
No, there's no Wheel of Fortune. It's appropriate. It's an offbeat relationship. Employees displayed hot sauce packets labeled with the words, "Will you marry me?" and decorated the restaurants with streamers and balloons.
Oh, my.
The bride wore a $15 hot pink dress, and the entire wedding cost $200.
She whiz.
Oh, that's just so
cheap date.
Martha Stewart would be so impressed.
I bet she'd roll over in her grave. Is going to be a lot more expensive than the wedding.
We just wish we'd roll over.
Just saying. Come
on, Carrie Brooks, 21, of Australia.
Come on, they're not ever
going to
leave.
There you go.
Yeah. Met Paul Brooks on the internet at a dating web.
What?
At a dating website. They already have the same last name. The couple wrote back and forth on the phone for 9 months before the woman moved to the United States. "We have the same brain, just in two bodies," Paul Brooks said. "We think alike in virtually every manner. We have the same interests and viewpoints." He proposed on New Year's Eve, and because they'd like to spend time at the local Taco Bell, they decided to wed there.
Oh, my God. That marriage is so going to last.
Sounds just so romantic, though.
It is. Yeah, but, you know,
would that be love at first bite?
Yo quiero you. Yo quiero tú, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it reminds me of an illustration I saw of how they got the sour cream in the
The part of why I brought this up is
They didn't remove.
I'm sorry, go on.
Is that, you know, we've been told that two men who have been together for decades would destroy the sanctity of marriage. These two putzes got married in a Taco frickin' Bell.
Yeah, I know.
And that doesn't destroy the sanctity of marriage?
No,
of course not.
They have opposite parts that fit together in that perfect way that, we can do two.
Okay, just because he's got a burrito and she's got a taco.
Oh, he went there.
Oh, nice one. Very nice.
I like to know he isn't a taco bender.
You know.
Can we have a repeat?
Just because he has a burrito and she has a taco doesn't mean the marriage is going to work at a Taco Bell.
It gives a whole meaning to getting lettuce stuck between you two.
Better stay clear of those bean burritos.
There you go.
Watch out for that sour cream, kid.
Watch out for that pink sauce. Anyhow.
By the way, was that a bean burrito or a beef burrito?
Oh!
Jeez, but it's just on the burritos.
Okay.
Moving on.
Interesting story out of Tennessee.
Oh, jeez.
Uh-oh.
The RT Hotel in Brentwood, Tennessee, is in a little bit of a battle. More workers have come forward with discrimination complaints in the wake of two recent firings of openly gay staff members. On January 8th, the television station reported that David Hill, the hotel's former director of human resources, has been terminated and dared to sue. His supervisor, Assistant General Manager Leonard Stoddard, told him that the owner ordered the firing specifically because he didn't want gays in leadership roles at his establishment. The owner, Tareen Surti, cultural background is a homophobic one, Stoddard explained to the television station. Mr. Hill has since filed complaints with the EEOC and Department of Labor, but has been given little hope, given both that the owner and the hotel are bankrupt. On finding out that the human resources director had spoken to the press, he was fired. More workers have come forward alleging discrimination and retaliation based on gender, sexual orientation, and national origin. We were spoken down to, former food and beverage manager Frida McAllister said. I guess in the owner's particular culture, women are second, so it was obvious from the treatment we got over here. We are told we don't know how to run a business, and we should do things more like they do in India.
How do you run a hotel without gay people?
I know.
Yeah. Former front office manager Timothy Horn said he was treated badly, partially because of his young age and also because he was gay. A charge echoed by another supervisor. Unfortunately, workers in Tennessee are not protected by anti-discrimination laws on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. This points to the need to pass ENDA, the Tennessee Equality Project president Christopher Sanders said. And I don't know if this is from their actual... There's a picture on here.
I wonder if there's any even any better chance in an Obama administration of that happening. The ENDA thing.
It's hard to say. It's one of those things. You know, he can help push for it in that, but, you know, the Democrats who are in the Congress have got to grow some grapes.
Yeah. I heard that an openly gay bishop was supposed to be at the inauguration as well.
Well, not the inauguration.
Oh?
Gene Robinson will be performing at the event on Sunday.
Okay.
Which is going to be televised on HBO.
Okay.
He's going to be giving the invocation at the ceremony that's going to take place at the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a response there to putting Rick Warren on the actual inauguration. Yeah. Invocation, you know, and Rick Warren said nice things, you know, saying it's nice to show, you know, it shows the diversity on that. You can have a Nazi like me on, and you can put on a, you know, a fag in a nice suit in the other one. I'm paraphrasing.
you're forgetting the robes.
He's not stupid enough to say it that way.
Episcopalians like their robes.
Oh yes, absolutely. Any opportunity to wear a pretty frock.
Just what we need in this country.
Fuck.
The mics
are on.
Need to
that never stopped
to search before. For this website. You can go. I guess you can go to their website here. There's a coincidentally enough here a Pepsi Max commercial that you have to see. It's British.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, there.
Well, I'm going to come over here.
And, you know, really I don't think the sound... There's no sound to it for you to enjoy. So, basically, it's... you know, three guys in a bar. And they're, you know, they're trying to talk up his friend. You know, looking at this kind of bookwormish girl. And, you know, go up and talk to her. Da-da-da-da. And so to get... I guess if there is enough sound, we can... Hold on, let me stop. Okay, let's see.
This one?
Yeah, that button... And the top button. Let's see if it's going to work. Yeah, here we go.
Whoa.
Wow. So we got three guys in the bar.
Definitely getting checked out.
I am.
Come on. She's kind of a bookwormish girl.
I guess it's now or never.
Exactly. What could go wrong?
Here. Have a Pepsi Max.
So drinks the soda.
Right. Let's do this.
And gets up and starts walking over. Walks past the bookwormish girl. Walks past the hottie. With a nice rap. And goes to the end of the bar with the hot guy in the tight black t-shirt.
Yeah.
And his friends are looking on surprised.
Oh my goodness.
It's a cute commercial. You have to see it. Go to pepsi.co.uk.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Check it out.
Take a look at that.
That sounds like fun.
You know, it's something you won't see here in the States.
Yeah. Obviously.
No, you won't see that.
Ah.
Of course not, because nobody here has grown some grapes to...
No, and they won't anytime soon, trust me.
Because we're conservatives here.
Mm. All right, our final story comes out of Canada.
Oh, ooh, Canada. Yeah.
Oh, Canada.
Mother criticizes American Apparel store for displaying a porno mag.
Really?
A West Vancouver mother said she's angry at a popular clothing store has openly displayed a pornographic magazine featuring explicit homoerotic images.
Abercrombie and Fitch catalog?
No.
Oh.
Trina Campbell told CBC News on Tuesday that she and her 13-year-old daughter saw a magazine sticking out of a backpack on display in the American Apparel outlet at Park Royal Shopping Center in West Vancouver. I pulled it out and went to open it and flipped open to a double-page spread of two men having full-on sexual activity.
Oh,
not just suggestive, she said.
What was she doing undressing a mannequin?
No, no, no.
I know.
There was, no. It wasn't that. She reached into... There was a magazine sticking out of a backpack on display, and for some reason she felt the need to pull the magazine out and look at it.
Okay.
I don't think this is something the average person wants to see unless they're ready or going out of the way to see it.
Apparently she likes the withdrawal methods.
the
a magazine in the first place.
Huh?
She was trying to shoplift a magazine and then found out what it was.
Well, she actually did shoplift it because the quarterly magazine Butt focuses on homosexuality and is available for sale worldwide. Campbell said she complained to the store staff, who said it was the head office decision to put the magazine in the display.
Head office.
Repeated calls by CBC News to American Apparel's U.S. head office were not returned on Tuesday.
That was way too easy.
The staff at Park Royal Mall's American Apparel outlet said they sell the magazine only to people with identification to prove they are over 18, and they keep the magazine behind the counter. It was right there. This was right there, and whether we had to produce ID or not to purchase it, we didn't have to produce an ID to look at it. It was too easily accessed. Spokesperson for the mall said there's little mall management can do about how a store displays its products. There's a bylaw that adult publications must be on a shelf at least 1.2 meters up from the floor, must be behind a sheet of opaque glass. There's a magazine called Butt that hanging out of a backpack on a mannequin in a store in a Canadian mall. And some mother decided she wanted to read the magazine and found full-on sex.
Oh, my goodness. Gay.
That's her own damn fault.
So did she show her kid this, or did she...
Three words.
Actually,
look, y'all.
Three words for this woman. Get a life.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Actually, when the daughter opened up, she says, I've seen Daddy doing that.
I
don't think that was Santa.
All right, we're coming up to the end of the show. It is your time. It's your last opportunity on this Pledge Drive show to call in your pledge of support for After Hours here at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We still have those two tickets for a $50 minimum pledge on plastic to go see Grease at the Stage Door Inc. production down in Pasadena.
And if we don't give them out tonight, we've got them for next week.
And so, like I said, it's your chance, 713-526-5738. You can go to the website, kpft.org, and put on your pledge of support there. We don't have anything queued up to go out with, do we?
No, we don't.
Grab something real quick.
Michael, come here.
He didn't get the clue. I told him to
grab something.
So I called for Michael.
If you have a story idea, if you have, you know, love mail, hate mail, want to tell us what you think about the show, you can go to afterhours@kpft.org, put in your...
Okay.
Change CDs. Change drives. You can give us that information. You can send us a letter, old-fashioned snail mail, After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. And we'd love to hear from you.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We want to hear from you, especially if you're sitting out there and think that we're boring and unintelligent and all that.
Oh, you're so wrong.
You know who you are out there. Send us the email. It's afterhours@kpft.org. We will be back next week. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in pledge drive mode, I don't have any PSAs for you, so a little bit of outro music.
Good night, kids.
Night, kids.
Night, everyone.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Talk.
no bogus dream. It's their heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. In the garage, they are practicing their guitar solos. But in the bedroom, they're practicing on one another. School was such a pain. What a way to waste your brain. 'Cause you know what's on their minds. Hey, dude, six.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.